welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, back from the week vacation for Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a wonderful time. Thank you so much to the guest host who took over. But we're back now, and we're hitting the ground running. We have a lot to talk about today. A lot to talk about. And I'll get into sort of what's happened over the last Thanksgiving week here on the other side. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 1st of December, 2025. FDA links 10 children's deaths to COVID-19 vaccines. Doctors want proof. That's the headline from ABC News. And there's a first time for everything, right? The doctors are finally asking for proof of the statements from the FDA or the CDC. CDC drops universal COVID shot recommendations. The top vaccine chief of the Food and Drug Administration sent out a memo saying the FDA will seek a stricter review and approval protocol for vaccine trials. In the memo on Friday, Dr. Vinay Prasad claimed a new review of records linked 10 children's deaths to the COVID vaccine, saying these deaths are related to vaccination, likely probable possible attribution made by staff, Prasad wrote. So it's good to see them acknowledge at least 10 of the God only knows how many people killed by these so-called vaccines that never worked in the first place. We'll return to that later. Meanwhile, after a productive meeting with Ukrainian negotiators in Florida, U.S. officials head to Russia. Ukrainian U.S. negotiators said Sunday's meeting on ending the war with Russia, which included talks on possible elections, land swaps, and security guarantees, was productive. And top U.S. envoys will head to Moscow on Monday for further discussions. Along with this, there's a lot of headlines about how Europe is going to, you know, NATO is going to try to take on Russia alone. No, you're not. No, you're not, though. You're actually not. And we do seem to be moving closer to some form of peace. And we pray it comes sooner than later. Meanwhile, Maduro resurfaces in Caracas as Trump says he has spoken to the Venezuelan president. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro made his first public appearance in days on Sunday, putting an end to speculation within the country that he'd fled amid escalating tensions with the U.S. Maduro, who usually appears on Venezuelan television multiple times a week, had not been seen in public since Wednesday when he posted a video of himself driving around Caracas on his Telegram channel, leading to intense speculation as to his whereabouts. But on Sunday, he appeared at an annual specialty coffee awards in eastern Caracas. And so, of course, the conflict with Venezuela continues to be one of the top stories, as Pete Hegseth is in hot water for supposedly making comment about kill them all. Now there's all this talk about war crimes and double tap strikes, and we'll get into all of it. It's all, in my opinion, totally superfluous and unnecessary and a distraction from the real fight going on to wrestle America out of the hands of the invaders that have flooded our country over the last couple of decades. But we'll get into all the nitty-gritty details. We'll go over what exactly is a war crime, what exactly, you know, is the justification for how they're carrying out these strikes. And my personal opinion is, again, it's just, it's not what they're telling us. I have this thing. I have this bit of skepticism that I can't quite shake, that I think the real reason we're targeting Venezuela has absolutely nothing to do with drugs, with Venezuela, with election meddling, or anything of the sort, but probably a lot to do with the fact that Venezuela is a very powerful ally of the Palestinians, and again, we'll get into that later. But speaking of Israel, Netanyahu asks Israel president for pardon amid corruption trial. He's trying to get a pardon. He's making statements about this. They've been investigating him for 10 years. And he launched the Gaza war in part to distract from the corruption trial that is pushing Israel to the point of civil war. Finally, we have this. Kristi Noem claims suspect in National Guard shooting was radicalized in the U.S. We do have some updates as to the condition of the National Guard people, the man and the woman targeted for assassination by an Afghan. We'll bring you some updates to that. One of the National Guard's and died. The woman died. The man continues to fight for his life and is now conscious and has given a thumbs up to the nurse. And that's the latest from that. But we'll get into everything here, how we got to this point, where it goes from here on the other side. Stay with us. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. Massive sale. I'll tell you about it on the other side as well. Stay with us.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. It's December, meaning we're getting Christmassy here at InfoWars. The Christmas decorations are up. My Thanksgiving break is over. And Lord, what a break it was. I actually, for a week, uninstalled X from my phone. I hardly use my desktop that much, so I was more or less totally disconnected. Although that's not entirely true. It was an effort to, you know, disconnect from the chaos of the New World Order, the info war, all that stuff, and just, you know, spend time with family, totally disconnected. And it worked to some degree. To some degree, that is what happened. To another degree, I ended up just going on a lot of other social media sites instead of X. And I'll tell you, yeah, X is the best. Nothing else even remotely holds a candle to X. If you're not on X, you just don't know what's going on anywhere ever. But it is interesting. Instagram is fascinating. It's almost more out there and edgy and right wing than even X is. It's crazy, except it's all like attractive young women talking about how Jeffrey Epstein was part of an international mafia. It's fascinating. And it's showing how widespread our message is becoming. And I think in a way, sticking on, you know, being off for a week and being on Instagram or Reddit, my God. Y'all ever been to Reddit? I mean, retards as far as the eye can see. It is truly, it's depressing. It's depressing. I mean, if you go to a leftist site, which like Reddit is, it's just, you're just staring into the abyss. It's just brainless morons, just people just utterly unknowledgeable about absolutely anything ever, but very angry and very opinionated. It's an awful place. I'll say 4chan has really kind of gone off the rails. It's not what it used to be. Not what it used to be whatsoever. No, X is the only place that, you know, has any relevance whatsoever as far as I'm concerned. But then you go on there, and again, it's like all of these flame wars. There's multiple various fronts being battled on at any certain type. And I missed a lot over the last week. I haven't talked much about the Marjorie Taylor Greene resignation or anything like that. Maybe we can get into some of that here. But I think like taking a week off, it's like, okay, we almost have to, as InfoWars, we have to like consciously determine that like we are not in the shadows anymore. We've operated for 30 years as like the dark horse, the black sheep. People, you know, were saying things that nobody else was saying. Now everybody's saying it and everybody's going insane. And so it's almost like we have to consciously go, okay, we can't be leading from the back anymore. We got to get out in the front. And we always have. I mean, we've always, you know, combined our political coverage with political activism and actually led the marches, led the revolution that brought, you know, Trump into office, completely upended the plans of the New World Order. We've always been out front in that way. But now it's like so many people are having their eyes open to this. And it's like, it's the type of thing. It's Plato's cave, right? Everybody's in the dark cave watching the shadows. And when you escape, it hurts and it's blinding. And you want to go back in the cave because it's too bright. The sun is too painful. And actually, when you pull people out of the cave, they might hate you and fight you because they think what you're doing is painful to them. while their eyes adjust. But once you're out of the cave, where do you go? Who do you follow? What trail do you start walking down? So I feel like it's kind of InfoWars' job to sort of just start over from the beginning and go, guys, the Matrix is real. You're in a cave. The world is run by a cabal of psychopaths that is working feverishly to enslave and or kill every man, woman, and child. And they're motivated by a variety of different inclinations or impetuses. But in the end, all of their plans are the same. It's all about control. It's all about consolidation. It's all about centralization. And it's all about using lies, using deception, using psychological manipulation to succeed where guns and knives and swords would fail. To enslave humanity in a prison of lies, in a prison of deception, and in a prison of psychiatry, basically, that's had immense amounts of success, not only in enslaving humanity, but in fooling humanity into thinking that slavery is freedom, and fooling people into thinking that, like, having a morality that is utterly subjective and disconnected from objective good and evil. And this is a realization that I've come to. So we're going to talk a lot today about the big picture going on. If you want to get into the details, we can do that. We can dive in. I'm going to take your calls today as well. We don't have any guests. Trump is doing something at 4 that I know we're going to keep an eye out for, but I don't think it's public. I think it's a private meeting that he's doing. But if there's any, you know, answering questions or anything, we'll go to that as well. We'll talk about what's going on in Venezuela and all of that. But I also want to tell you, I don't even know how to really break into this topic. Do we have the censored videos? Is clip 27 censored? Telling the crew, let me know when 27 censored, because I want to go to that as well. But let's go to clip 15 first, just to sort of set the table. I know we all know this, but like people have to understand. And the other thing is like hanging out with family who, you know, most of my family's pretty based. Most of them, you know, more or less know what's going on. But as I'm talking to them and I'm talking about people they know, and I get the feeling that there's like two types of patriots in this country. There's the patriots of the people and the patriots of the government. It's kind of hard to explain, but I feel like what Trump is doing right now is really satisfying the patriots of the government. Like the people that they see the health of a nation as the GDP and things like that, they are loving what's going on. I mean, I was talking to people who they're just like, you know, raving about Trump, just saying people have no idea how he is systematically destroying America's enemies. And I'm sitting here going, but what about all of the things that are happening here? What about how America itself is being gutted and destroyed from the inside out? What about the H-1B visas? Like the H-1B visa might be the perfect topic, like inflection point to fulcrum to talk about, because it's like, okay, if you're for the H-1B visas, you're for America as a GDP, America as some sort of set of numbers to be maximized. But if you're against H-1B visas, you're a patriot of the people. You're a patriot of the American people and wanting them to do better. Even if it means GDP goes down, we want the people of America to succeed, not the people of India to come here and extract resources. I feel like that's a major divide that I can't even quite quantify or like, you know, designate these are these people and these are these people, because there's a lot of crossover. There's a lot of wiggle room. There's a lot of overlap. But at the end of the day, I think this is also at the heart of the so-called MAGA civil war, because a lot of people, again, they are in support of Trump. They think what Trump is doing is very, you know, like important, and like what he's doing is stabilizing the economic world because they're scared of a big crash. Like, I'm not scared of a big crash. I kind of want a big crash. Actually, for housing prices to go down, we need a big crash. I want to expel so many people that all of the industries that rely on illegal immigration all go down in flames. I don't care because they don't serve me. They don't help me. They don't help my family. They don't help my country. They are just resource extraction mechanisms. I feel like that's a very important divide that we have to, like, you know, try to highlight. And it's the understanding that we are going to have to break some eggs here. We're trying to make an omelet. We're going to have to break some eggs, which is fine. And, like, to do that is necessary, and we can recognize that and craft the narrative around that, explaining why these eggs have to be broken. But it has to be done in such a way that actually succeeds in making the omelet. Right now, it seems like what Trump is doing is breaking a bunch of eggs and then leaving the eggs broken and uncooked on the kitchen counter. And it's like, okay, if you're going to break the eggs, it has to be towards an end. You have to be doing something that means that the breaking of the eggs is not just justified, but, like, required in the achievement of that thing. The crossing the Rubicon. You don't cross the Rubicon as Caesar and then try to have a conversation. It's a declaration of war. We have had war declared against us. We have, in turn, accepted that declaration of war and declared war against them, and yet we're not fighting like that. We're not fighting like it's a war. We're fighting like it's a debate club. We're fighting like, you know, hey, maybe we win this one and you guys win the next one, and then we duke it out a third time. It's like, no, if they win again, it's over. It's over in every quantifiable way. It is over for America if the Democrats ever get back into power again. We have to understand this, and you have to notice their plans, notice their operations. You have to notice and take seriously the fact that they are literally engaged in a Bolshevik-style revolution in this country, and then take the extraordinary measures to crush that completely, not just fan the flames of it by pissing everybody off, by doing stupid stuff that doesn't actually, you know, limit their action whatsoever. Does that make sense? Let's go to this video about the color revolution. This is from a user called RealDefender45, clip 15, explaining that we are, in fact, in a color revolution. We have to take this as seriously as it demands. And, you know, to a certain degree, I'm just like, I'm kind of ready just to give up on the whole Trump thing, to be honest with you. I mean, the fact that we're still talking about the Seditious Six, not only are we still talking about the Seditious Six, they're still making even crazier statements to this day on national television. And so at a certain point, it's like, okay, if they were going to be arrested, it would have happened by now. So I think I can pretty much say with extreme confidence, nobody from the Seditious Six is ever going to be arrested. Nobody is ever going to be arrested for publicly declaring that the army should refuse orders. Why that's not happening? I guess people in office are cowards. Like, people running our country are just absolute cowards that have somehow been convinced. It's almost like they think they need Mark Kelly's approval to arrest him. It's like they think that we have to talk to the Seditious Six and get them to go, you know what, you're right, I did commit treason, better arrest me, and only then are we allowed to arrest them. It's this weird thing. They've broken the law, you are the law enforcer, go arrest them. It's so simple, and I'm just frankly sick of talking about it. By the way, do you have any idea who these people are? You see the woman on the left there, second to left? That's Jake Sullivan's wife. Okay, Jake Sullivan, Pentagon spokesperson, Clinton crony. I mean, it's all the same people from all the way back then. I don't see a path forward for Trump, to be honest with you. I really don't. Let's go to the color revolution. We'll pick it up on the other side. But, like, I think it's too late. I don't think there's anything Trump can do at this point, or at least he's not willing to. There's, like, 10 things he could do, and it would just solve all the problems in a week. He's not doing them. He's not going to do them. And, like, they just threw out the Comey and Letitia James. Like, didn't we say, I would say it as a joke, be like, the bare minimum what we got was at least we got Comey and Letitia James on, like, lying to Congress. Fine, if that's what we get, good enough. But I doubt that's even going to stick. And, of course, it hasn't. It's been thrown out. They're not being charged. They're not under any threat. They're free to, you know, go about tearing our country down from the inside. there's a level of frustration that is unsustainable. So I don't know, maybe we need a different tack. Let's go to the Color Revolution video here, and then I'll pick this up on the other side.
You've now probably heard political experts over and over refer to the fact that what we're witnessing is a color revolution. And they're right. And let me explain why. A color revolution is a communist globalist playbook to take over a country without tanks actually rolling down Main Street. It's how they flipped places like Serbia, Georgia, Ukraine, and they tried to flip a dozen others. The same exact playbook every single time. This is how they do it. One, they demonize the leader of the people who they actually voted for. Two, they flood the country with chaos like riots, open borders, economic pain. Three, they weaponize the courts, the media, and big tech to finish him off. And four, they install a puppet who sells the country out to China and the UN. And that's not theory, that's the manual. They opened it on us in the United States the day Donald Trump won in 2016. And here's how they ran it on us step by step. From 2016 to 2020, they gave us the Russia collusion hoax, FBI spying, two fake impeachments, Antifa burning cities while CNN called it fiery but mostly peaceful, and the goal was to make you hate the guy you voted for. In 2020, we had 2 a.m. ballot dumps, boarded up windows, 51 Intel agents lying about Hunter's laptop, Zuckerberg dropping $400 million to help count votes in Democrat cities. And the goal there was to steal the election while calling you a conspiracy theorist for noticing. From 2021 to 2024, we had Joe Biden opening the border on day one, 12 million plus illegals, military age men from China and Venezuela and all over the world, free flights, free hotels, free EBT cards, all on your dime. Cities collapse, crime explodes, schools and hospitals break. The goal, to make Americans feel like strangers in their own country. Then from 2021 to 2025, 91 felony charges, Mar-a-Lago raided, gag orders, mug shots. They didn't want to just beat Trump. They wanted to break him and every future patriot who dares to run. Look at what they did to Charlie Kirk. That is a textbook color revolution. But on November 5th, 2024, the American people looked this Marxist coup dead in the eye and said, not today. 312 electoral votes, popular vote landslide, the biggest Hispanic and Black Republican turnout ever. We pulled off the greatest peaceful counter-revolution in world history. But the deep state isn't done. The same snakes who funded BLM riots, Ukraine coup, and Arab Spring still sit in the FBI, CIA, big tech, and the universities. They'll try again in 2026 or in 2028, but now you know the game. Every time you see another mostly peaceful riot, sudden experts all using the same scripted words, a new crisis 2 weeks before an election, you're watching the Color Revolution playbook live on American soil. Never forget what they tried to do to us. Back mass deportations. If we have no border, we have no country. Protect every America First fighter willing to swing the axe on the swamp. Teach your kids the truth. Communism didn't die in 1991. It just dyed its hair purple and moved to Washington. This is still the United States of America. We are still the home of the brave, and the brave do not bow to color revolutions. Recognize what is happening. Stare it in the face, speak out against it, and then we finish taking our country back, one closed border, one drained swamp, and one restored republic at a time. We need to support our president in taking all necessary measures to do just that. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
So that was a very powerful video from a woman named Real Defender 45 on X. I completely agree with her. Again, this is the frustration, is that we don't need a new political creation. We don't need some novel theory of utopianism. We need to enforce the laws. We have the laws. They're on the books. We just don't enforce them. It's like, what do we need to do? Close the border? Okay, well, that is the law. It's supposed to be closed. What are you talking about? Oh, they opened it up illegally and flooded our country with tens of millions of people. Okay, then punish the people that did that. They broke the law. Okay, get people off the streets. Great. When they commit a crime, throw them in jail. Like, it's not complicated at all to do what we have to. It's just about doing it, and we cannot get people in power to do it. We did participate in the greatest counter-revolution of all time, and absolutely nothing of substance has come from it. And again, we'll get into it. That people today and calling me a black pillar for talking about the deportations not being nearly enough, or scoffing at the, you know, elimination of the protected status for Somalians. It's not enough, y'all. It's not enough. It's like it's 1945 and the Germans are bragging about how efficiently they took over France. It's like, okay, so what? You have to win the war. It doesn't matter. It's like, well, but we've done this and we've done this and we've done this. It's like, okay, but you're going to lose the war and then all of your soldiers are going to be sent off to be worked to death in Siberian slave camps. So yeah, you took over France really efficiently. That was, the logistics there were really off the charts, really incredible stuff. You're going to lose the war and you're all going to die. So that's where we're at right now. I don't want to hear about how successful closing the border was. Great. But you're going to lose the war because you haven't done enough. Okay, yeah, you took France really efficiently. Have you thought about Russia yet? Have you considered Stalingrad and what's going to happen there? That's sort of where we're at this point. It's a little black-pilled, but it's reality-pilled. And we can't keep, supporting an administration that doesn't deserve it, isn't worthy of it, and doesn't have America's best interest in mind. That's just my take. And again, we can get all the way into it. Let's go to clip three here quickly. This is Russell Brand.
Particularly if it fits within the milieu that I've come to recognize as defining our times, control masked as care, convenience to elicit yet further control, that the bureaucracies of our age indeed mask and perhaps are the essence of yet the tyranny of our age. I suppose we still have the hangover of the last century when I think of despotism and dictators and tyranny and totalitarianism. I think of mustachioed dictators and shiny jackboots and red, white and black flags and Nuremberg and parades and Sturm and Drang. But now totalitarianism comes masked in bureaucracy. Control comes insidiously like a gentle fog under your door, like a warning, we're here to help you. And I suppose I'm alert to that because as a person in recovery from addiction, we of course have to learn about the obvious forms of dependency like drug, alcohol, and then even things like pornography and gambling. But one gets a sense that the root, or at least more deep than the items I've just listed, is codependency, where relationships become dependent. Now, I believe, of course, as a Christian, that you can only depend on Christ, but the state wants you to depend on the state. And by the state, I mean, the nexus of interest that include global bureaucracies, national governments, corporate and commercial interests. They've become masterful at controlling and centralizing information, and the movement of which you are obviously a significant part was a significant breach in their ability to control data. And I think we are now witnessing the reformation of their power. How do they delegitimize information? How do they smear and destroy people that convey true information? And once you know that all they care about is control, because once you have control, you can do what you want.
Right.
You can profit financially or you can regulate. Then once you've understood that, then things become clearer. So I try not to believe in things just because I want to believe in them, because I've gotten to the point, because of, I suppose, anger, where I want to believe that.
Sure.
That
you have a confirmation bias based on some anger and rage.
Yes.
As does the other side.
So we'll return to this on the other side, but again, it's just a little bit frustrating. It's just like, it's literally what we've been saying, or I've been saying personally for the last 5 years. It's all about control, wielding information to enslave you. We'll be back on the other side, how we break out of this. It's not hard.
My fellow info warriors, we are having right now in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, the bad guys are about to take it over. Why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction, or they're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this. We'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Because remember last year when The Onion, this time last November, announced that they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But, of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And, of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. Remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money. They want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser. Last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever, works incredibly. This is a product that I came up with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. So good for the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
All right, welcome back, folks. Welcome back to the War Room.
Jack Frost nipping.
A special Christmas edition. I do want to remind you, the Cyber Weekend sale does end tonight. It ends tonight at midnight. You're getting 60% off absolutely everything on the entire site, which is kind of ridiculous. I don't even understand. This is the biggest sale we've ever done, ever. Add any product to your cart, and your discount will be automatically applied. This offer ends Monday, December 1st, tonight at midnight. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today. Fuel your body, mind, and power the InfoWar. Plus, every purchase gets 50 times entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392, plus $10,000 cash, and a brand new Ford Raptor, plus $10,000 cash giveaways. So you're entered to win with 50 times entries for every dollar you spend, and every single thing on the store is 60% off. Every single thing. If you've ever even thought about ordering something from the Alex Jones store, now is absolutely the time. You only have a couple hours left, so go now to thealexjonesstore.com. Just try something out. It's like ridiculously cheap. Did you see how good Ultramethylene Blue is? See how powerful the Ultimate CMOS is. Or do your Christmas shopping for the Info Warrior and your family. We've got a ton of awesome hats. Ton of awesome shirts, sweatshirts, all sorts of apparel on sale now. Plus, you're getting entered to win those incredible SUVs, the Jeep, the Raptor, and $10,000 cash with every order. TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps us on the air and in the fight. And of course, the thing that I always appreciated about InfoWars before I worked here was the fact that it was more than just talking about stuff. It was doing stuff. It was, of course, the revelation about the evil that controls all our world, but it was also the blueprint on how to overthrow it, on how to be awakened and active and not give up, and to certainly not take their demoralization at face value. And that's sort of what I want to get into here, because there is a very intense demoralization campaign going on right now, specifically targeting white people and white Americans in particular, but Americans overall. And we don't fall for it. We're not going to fall for it, because the truth is that if we can get enough people on board, if we can wake enough people up the right way, because a lot of people are waking up right now, but it's not a guarantee that they're suddenly on our side and aware and embracing things that we value. It just means that they are realizing that a bunch of evil people control the world. And a lot of times that just leads people to think, well, capitalism bad. I better, you know, vote for a form of government that gives all of the power unquestionably to the people who I hate. I mean, it's just, it's truly, truly retarded. But InfoWars was always out front. It was always, you know, leading the charge. And frankly, we've been legally prevented from doing that for a while. First couple of years I worked here, every couple of weeks, we're going out on assignment. We're leading protests or being on the ground, you know, capturing firsthand coverage of major events. Then they took over our bank account, and we've been very limited in our ability to do that type of stuff. I'm very excited to get back to that from whatever happens. This bankruptcy is coming to an end one way or the other, and either we'll have to give up InfoWars and go under Alex Jones Network and fire up then, or, you know, InfoWars will continue against all odds. And that would be amazing as well. No matter what, we continue to be on the forefront of this movement, the Liberty Movement, and we will, to an increasing degree, be more and more involved actually on the ground in the organization. But that's what really sets us apart and what put the target on our back in the first place. And I think the revelation that needs to happen now, the revelation that like is desperately needed to break out of this feedback loop that we're in, where the Democrats make everything worse and then they point to that thing they made worse and say, look how bad this is. Don't you want change? We're here to represent change. Then they make everything worse again. And then we're just in this feedback loop until we become South Africa 2.0. We need to break that. And the way to break it is by being fearless. And that's the only thing that's limiting us is fear. It's the only thing is the fear of being called names, the fear of backlash, where if we're rude to a group or whatever it is, we have to get over that fear. And we have to not just like abandon the fear or drive over the fear, but like recognize the fear is misplaced. Recognize like there's nothing to be afraid of. There is no reason to be fearful of this, and that the cage that's around our mind right now is illusionary. We can break out at any point. The reason I say this is because there's been a lot of talk about basically white people hating themselves. And I don't know why. I've just seen this crop up over and over again, where there's a tweet today where it was like, people are losing hope because they see that nobody cares about this event or nobody cares about that event. And he says, you know, the thing that made me realize is when I saw like a black ice hockey player kick a guy and cut his throat and kill him on the ice, and no one seemed to care. And everybody cheered when the murderer came back on the ice after a suspension. And it's like, oh, from one perspective, like what the person I'm talking about, what the guy saw was a very obvious and deliberate attack that killed a person. But to everybody else, it was like, oh, it was a big accident. It was, oh, how tragic. This is just horrible. And there's this weird, like indoctrinated suicidal tendency that white people have as a collective. And the fear that stops people from breaking out of that is the fear of being seen as a racist, as a white supremacist, or whatever else. And that's the fear that we need to break out of, because it's not valid. It's not legitimate. It's, if you're against racism, then you should be against anti-white racism. It's not that complicated. If you're against people being targeted by institutions for destruction, you should be against it for everybody. It's really not a hard stance to take. And it really shouldn't be hard in the face of the people that we have trying to demoralize us. So we'll start with some demoralization here. We'll go to Wajat Ali. I haven't even watched this yet. Clip 22. I guess this is a immigrant Muslim guy telling white Christians in America that we've lost, or Christians overall in America, that we've lost, that it's over. Okay, this is a deliberate attempt at demoralization. Don't fall for it. We'll play it here, but just remember, nothing is lost. Absolutely nothing is lost in this world as long as there is still a group of people who understand what's really going on and have hope for the future and are working towards that. Here's Wajid Ali trying to demoralize us into surrendering when we haven't lost. Let's watch.
You have lost. You lost. The mistake that you made is you let us in the first place. See, that's the thing with brown people. I'm going to say this as a brown person. There's a lot of us. Like a lot. There's like 1.2 billion in India. There's more than 200 million in Pakistan. There's like 170 million in Bangladesh. Those are just the people there. I'm not even talking about the folks who are expats or immigrants. There's a bunch of us. And we breed. We're a breeding people. And the problem is you let us in 1965. There were a few of us beforehand. But once you let one of us in, you know what happens with brown folks? Our grandmother comes, our grandfather comes, our uncle comes, our aunt comes, our cousin comes, our second cousin comes, our third cousin comes. Then we have kids, a bunch of kids. And then guess what? Some white women, you know, the Western civilization women, the pure women, the American women, quote unquote, the Rust Belt women, the real women, they like some of us brown folks. We don't take them. They come to us. So we're embedded. We are everywhere. We are everywhere. I've traveled this country. I'm going to speak as a brown person. Brown people are everywhere. There will be a Patel Motel or there will be a Desi restaurant everywhere. I want you to realize this. You have lost. Your story is a shitty story filled with misery. It's filled with bland chicken. It's filled with terrible, terrible dry ass meat. Your music sucks. All your culture sucks. Nobody, that's why the kids like listen to black people in their music. That's why the kids love Latinos. Your parties suck because they're monochromatic. Our parties have better food, better music, better looking women.
I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what was that last part? Whoa, that one. I wasn't expecting that one. Okay. I think we ignore everything else that he said. Better looking women, really? I thought you were just bragging about how all the white women come over to the brown people. By the way, statistically, white women, the least likely to race mix out of any gender or race, the least likely are white women to race mix. So again, that's demoralization. That's an attempt at demoralization. The fact is, Americans, that is white people, that is the culture that white people created in America, is just, I don't even have to say it. I don't even have to say it. We're just the coolest. We're just the best. Our culture has literally boxed every other culture out everywhere it goes. Everybody in the world tries desperately to mimic what we created by accident. So what are you talking about? Who is trying to be Indian? Who is looking at Pakistan and celebrating their cultural exports? Absolutely nobody. Okay? So it's ridiculous, but it's also a declaration of war. It's also obviously an attempt to create, you know, racial division to, you know, exploit that to destroy white people. Like, he just hates white people. It's very simple. It's not that complicated. Because it's out of jealousy, because he's jealous of white people, because obviously, like, it feels weird to me. It's uncomfortable to me because of how true it is to explain how superior European and American culture is. I feel bad because of how superior it is, because I'm de facto insulting whatever this is, right? So I feel bad. Like, he knows that it's not true, which is why he's so confident in saying it. Do you understand? So just don't be demoralized. Understand that these weird brown people like Wajid Ali has to try to tear you down to build himself up. He's right about the population numbers. He's wrong about we can't do anything about it or that it's impossible. Have we looked at the map of Al-Andalus? Have we looked at the map of what Spain looked like before the Reconquista? Because the Christian monarchies had been diminished to barely existing on the very northern coast of Spain, and then they waged war for a couple hundred years and won it all back. It wouldn't take us that long if we really were motivated and wanted to do it. It'd be a simple matter. but they like think that they've won. They want you to think that they've won in order to demoralize you so you don't fight back, or you think, ah, gee, I better just play along because these guys are in charge now and I don't want them to get me or whatever. It doesn't matter what you do. They're coming for you no matter what. They're absolutely coming for you no matter what. So again, just a very like insulting and I don't know. He's literally portraying his own race as like a bioweapon. He's just like, there's so many of us and we breed out of control and we consume everything in our path. It's like, I'm sorry, am I watching a TikTok from a locust? Am I watching a TikTok from a virus of some sort? Why are you bragging about this? Again, a lot of people get uncomfortable with this because, you know, it's like white people. I mean, why is everybody trying to, you know, 40 to 50% of every single person in Africa is trying to get off that continent. Half the people in Africa, one half, 50%, are desperately trying to get off of that continent and come to Europe and come to America. Everybody in India is trying to come to America and come to Europe. Why would that be? Because our culture is so crappy, because we have bland chicken, because we're the best at everything all the time, constantly, forever, throughout all of history. Okay. Now that makes people feel uncomfortable to discuss that. You need to get over it. You need to get over it. That has been seeded into you. You have been impregnated by an alien force who has laid an egg in your brain that has hatched and become self-hatred. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Celebrating white culture, white people, white history. It's magnificent, truly. And would it be different if I wasn't white? Would it be different if I wasn't a white person saying this? Because I'll say exactly the same thing about other cultures. Doesn't feel weird then. If I talk about how superior the Japanese culture is, how magnificent it is, doesn't make you feel weird, does it? Doesn't make you kind of cringe, does it? Because you're celebrating a culture, but it's not white. So that seed in your mind doesn't flare up. It doesn't, you know, send the alarm. Oh, no, no, you're not supposed to say that. So you got to break through that. You got to get over that. You have to understand it's not about being a white person and loving white people. It's about being a human being and loving white people. Okay. And I've got a pretty good example of this. Let's go to clip 27 here. Somebody who just understands exactly what everybody should understand and nobody does for some reason. And the for some reason is because of decade upon decade of concerted, deliberate propaganda trying to stop you from thinking this way. Let's go to the black guy.
So Piers Morgan and Tucker Carlson are having a conversation about how basically the white population is going extinct in England, right? And Piers Morgan was basically sitting there and being like, you know what? I really got a real big deal with that. You know, I like my Indian restaurants and my tikka masala. You know, I'm f***ing with that. And in fact, I would replace a lot of white people with a lot of foreigners coming in. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, see, this is what Piers Morgan and a lot of niggas don't really understand. Whiteness and the West go hand in hand. Whiteness and exploration go hand in hand. Whiteness and philosophy goes hand in hand. Whiteness and democracy goes hand in hand. What does this mean? If white people are gone, the West is gone. All the things that has made the West great has come from white people. That's just the truth. So if all these niggas are gone and you have the entire third world, Muhammad, Omar, all these niggas coming to your country and all the white people are now fucking gone, the third world just becomes the third world again. These niggas are coming to the West because the West is great. The West was created by white people. If the white people are fucking gone, then the West is not going to be great anymore. This is where you're just going to get the constant authoritarianism, the tyranny, and all the bullshit that you were trying to escape from because the white people are gone. That's why we actually needed the wiggers. If the wiggers are gone, the elections are gone. I'm gonna be sitting here with all you dumb niggas because y'all aren't thinking about space. You guys aren't thinking about inventing anything or having democracy or any of these high levels of thought. I'm gonna be like, hey y'all, we need a election. Y'all gonna be like, nah, that war, let's just kill niggas, because that's what it's like. So white people getting replaced is actually a horrible thing for the West completely.
All right, what's this guy's name? Can we pull up that guy's account? I gotta credit him. Is he wrong? No, he's exactly right. And I've explained this a million times, but this is how the elite think. What did Russell Brand say? It's all about control. It's all about control. It's about psychological control. And so you want to eliminate the population that bucks under a yoke. That's the whole point. all of this stuff, all of these things that they claim to be fighting for, democracy, human rights, like whatever else. It doesn't exist anywhere. It never existed anywhere else, ever, until the Europeans came up with it and then enforced it by violence on other parts of the world. It didn't just naturally arise. It's not just a conclusion that every human comes to. We had to force it onto people. And when it goes away, it doesn't come back. It doesn't just regenerate naturally. It doesn't just respawn. It can go away forever. You can breed that gene out of existence. It's all about control. It's all about control. It's all about control. And again, it's insane to me that you have somebody like that Wajid Ali guy, whatever, the brown biological weapon. Like, he's just saying this stuff and just insulting everything about us. And again, this is why the whole thing is like confusing and nonsensical. This guy, Ali, I have no idea what this is. Alaway Arangundel, Arangundade. I'm not sure how to say this. If you're a radio listener, you gotta find the video so you can read this out. Olliearogundade. I love him. He's exactly right about what he's saying. What's that? Okay, the first name's Ali, the last name's Arangundade. Well, no offense for not being able to pronounce your name, dude, because you're exactly right. And I appreciate the thought. And again, it should just everybody should be able to recognize that. The only reason you wouldn't be able to recognize that is if you have some sort of narcissistic element, you know, to you, where like you're mad that other people are doing things that you're not doing. I mean, that really does drive like so much of human behavior. And it's one of those things where you really got to teach your kid it when he's young. Just because somebody else is doing well doesn't mean he's not doing well. I don't know why that's so difficult for people to understand. But let's go to clip number four here, because this is Nick Fuentes. And I don't know why my dad talked about this clip. I saw Dinesh D'Souza talking about this clip. This clip's gone like super viral. And people are, I think, totally misunderstanding the point. And once again, it's just exactly what I've said over and over on this show, which, again, is one of these weird situations where you just, I don't know. It's frustrating to me personally, saying the same thing over and over for years on end, and somebody else says it and it goes viral and, you know, causes all this whatever. Let's go to clip number four here. Nick Fuentes on the need for order.
The problem with libertarianism is that liberty is not the highest political virtue. The highest political virtue is order. That is the greatest ordering principle. That is the greatest governing principle, order. Order comes first. Liberty comes second. And order has to be maintained by a powerful state. Order has to be maintained by authority. And where does authority proceed from? Force? Guns, overwhelming force, power that comes out of the end of a rifle, and legitimacy. The people have to believe in the authority of the state. And if these things are being undermined by freedom, by liberty, then you don't get liberty. And people like to say that Ben Franklin thing about liberty and safety, liberty and safety. It's about order and disorder. Forget about safety and liberty. It's about order and disorder. And what Hobbes writes is that even a bad order is better than disorder, than chaos, than a war of all against all, a total collapse of authority. Because do you know what happens when the power goes out? Rape. Okay? Rape, murder, looting, pillage, marauding, barbarism, an orgy of the crowds, an orgy of violence and chaos and hatred and anger. Okay? It's like the kinds of war crimes in Abu Ghraib, okay? It's like the kinds of war crimes committed in Vietnam, in Iraq. When you have a total collapse of order, you get things that it's beyond human comprehension. So this is a very free country. This is one of the freest countries to ever exist. And the problem is that those things are starting to become undermined, the authority, the force and the legitimacy that founds the authority of the state, which holds the country together, which enforces the laws. And libertarians, they have a little bit too much faith in people and a little bit too much faith in the individual. I don't believe in the individual. And I'm individualistic, but I'm not an individualist. individualism only makes sense in a white, Christian, patriarchal society.
See, and I'd say it just depends on what you're talking about. I mean, you just have to be exact on, you know, where you're invoking these terms. Like, individually, like, justice, I think, has to come on an individual level. I don't think it's just, I'm going to say, it's not just to punish one person for the crimes of another, right? Even if they're in the same group. Now, that being said, you can treat people as groups if their crime is being committed as a group, right? You look at what's going on with the widespread systemic fraud of the Somalis in Minnesota. Okay. Even if you didn't actively participate in the fraud, I think for, you know, justice overall, you know, just everybody in that community can be deported, you know, pretty rapidly. But overall, the more important point, like, Dinesh D'Souza didn't like this. He says, I told you this was coming. The people have to believe the authority of the state. Forget about liberty and safety. It's about order. He's quoting Nick, and he says, the fascists and Nazis were leftists.
The problem with libertarian.
And so this is the natural trajectory for Nick. That's not a leftist idea. What has convinced you that's a leftist idea? If freedom or liberty is your ultimate and only goal, then why do you live in a city? Why would you not live in the woods? Why would you not go out to Death Valley and live there? Go live in the jungle. Go live in a failed state where there's no authority. Isn't that liberty? A libertarian, you know, people who love liberty, they don't want to go off and starve to death in the woods. They want to be safe in their homes. Liberty, to me, is the classic image of the American suburb with the streetlights on and the doors unlocked and the kids playing in the yards. Remember the woman in Tennessee, Memphis, when Trump's in the National Guard, and she said, finally, I can let my kids play in my backyard and not fear them getting shot. If you or your kids cannot play in your own backyard, are you free? No. Freedom, liberty requires peace. Peace requires order. It's not a conflict between order and liberty. Order is a prerequisite for liberty. Order first, liberty comes after. You can't do it the other way around. It's not that complicated. Oh, is this our cultural superiors? Oh my gosh. Oh wow, I've been listening to this stupid American music when I could have been jiggling to whatever the crap this is. Jesus Christ. Get it off the screen! Get it off the screen!
I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones' store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight wise too. And so, finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour of the War Room is on. We're going to go now to the latest from Project Veritas. Daniel Fitzgerald, a State Department official responsible for allocating U.S. foreign aid and bribes across the West, confirms on videotape it's all about ethnic replacement. Let's watch.
There's got to be something that you're like, man, I wish I could tell the world about this.
Oh, there's a lot of things. But mostly with immigration. I wish people knew that we're letting in criminals daily.
The big issue for the hill for our region is migration. Oh. So we poured a lot of money into Central America.
Like how much?
$4 billion over 4 years. But now migrants are coming from out there. Right. Like Venezuela.
Somos de nacionalidad venezolana. Tenemos vuelo para Nueva York.
Entonces, le compraste un vuelo con Spirit?
Sí.
40.
Sí, entramos con la cita de CBP One por el puente fronterizo.
So what is the end goal? Why aren't they allowing it?
Truly, they want to change the demographics of the United States.
Really... So our aid goes to female prisons in Mexico.
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
To like help train them up.
I'm working with gender issues in Pakistan, so we're trying to retain and advance more women in law enforcement. And the question becomes, should we be spending U.S. taxpayers' money in our country on this issue? Women simply don't seem to care about.
Secretary Blinken, how close are you to him?
5 degrees separation. This is such a niche industry that flies under the radar.
Yeah.
That the average American does not know. Most people don't know what we do.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much to you, Ranking Member Risch, all the members of the committee, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
He has briefings coming up in 2 weeks.
He has briefings?
Yeah, on the Hill. About the FY 2025 budget request. And that's like with all the congressional people. The big issue for the Hill, for our region, is migration.
Oh, my.
How to stop migration. What are we doing to stop migration?
He's not accountable for that, is he?
Yeah, we do stuff for it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's called the root causes strategy.
Ooh.
It's giving money to support and help people at where the origins of the migrants are so they feel like they can stay there instead of migrating out. So it's Central America, basically.
It's what?
It's basically Central America. Like
right.
Support and development.
Oh.
So we poured a lot of money into Central America.
Like how much?
$4 billion over 4 years.
Oh. Like a lot of money for those places.
It's a lot of money.
Is it doing anything?
I think for them, yes, but now migrants are coming from out there.
Right.
Like Venezuela, so we're like, oh, this would solve that problem.
Oh, no. So what does he say to that? That looks bad for the administration, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it looks bad for any administration. Because no one solves migrants. It's like the end-all be-all, like kill pill for politics.
Right. And I feel like if anything, the other side's going to win because of it.
I know. My dad used to complain about that. I'm like, oh, and like in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's not that much. And then I see the chart, and I'm like, oh, that's a lot. Like compared to like 20 years ago. I'm like, oh wait, they're on to something.
And I don't know what to say to that.
I really don't. I literally don't know.
Like what would the administration say to that?
I don't know. And like I sit there too, and I talk with my coworker who like manages to migrate foreign assistance. And we always talk every time, we're like, I don't know what we do. Like there's no clear answer.
Do they do things within the foreign affairs department that will have like this money going to these women? I mean, there's got to be some things that you're like, man, I wish I could tell the world about this.
Oh, there's a lot of things, but mostly with immigration, because that's the one that where the left is really controlling immigration. I wish people knew that we're letting in criminals daily. Like when I was in,
you have confirmation of that. You have confirmation.
Oh yeah. So all the good, honest, hardworking Mexicans stay in Mexico, and all the pieces of garbage into the United States, and those are the ones that we left. We are literally, and the Mexican government has no reason to stop it because their garbage goes to another country and sends money back to them. Like imagine if the worst of the worst, and all the criminals in the United States were all going to Canada and sending back billions of dollars a year. Why would you stop that? I wouldn't even change the numbers of, like, if we let in 100,000 Mexicans a year, like, let in 100,000 Mexicans a year, just change the quality of the applicant. Make the, you know, say 100,000 Mexicans, but you can't have been in the U.S. illegally, and you can't have a criminal record.
So what is the end goal? Why aren't they allowing it?
Truly, they want to change the demographics of the United States.
They really do.
Because, I mean, no, honestly, the people from Nebraska, like my family's time, like Americans that have, my family's been in the United States for 400 years, traditional standard Americans are not leftists. Latin America's all leftists. And it's just... It literally is. It's just a try.
There it is, folks, from the State Department themselves, changing the demographics because migrants are all leftists and Americans aren't.
Harris
Listen, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Mm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, folks. So a lot to talk about in today's episode of The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. Support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Reminder, we've got a few hours now. It'll be 8 hours. Don't waste it. Till midnight tonight to get 60% off absolutely everything at TheAlexJonesStore.com. 60% off. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Let's talk about Venezuela now. We'll get into the Venezuela conflict. I'm sort of torn on this a little bit. I think, personally, I don't agree with what Trump is doing. I don't believe the reasoning that's being given for why these things are being done. I just don't. And I'll give you my reason for why that is. At the same time, I think they're using it, and I think they're setting up Pete Hegseth and others to be ousted. Now, remember, they have been trying to oust Pete Hegseth since the beginning of the second Trump administration. We've covered it relentlessly. What was the Signalgate scandal all about? Remember, they were trying to get Hegseth to resign because of that. When the chats were leaked to the Atlantic editor, and he published them. And parts of that they were trying to claim were in violation of international law and war crimes, and Pete Hegseth has to step down for that. They just don't want Pete Hegseth in that position. So it seems like at least part of what they're doing is luring him down the primrose path, saying, oh, no, it's fine, yeah, you order it, and we'll do it. And then they're later going to turn around and go, oh, actually, that was illegal. Actually, you're a war criminal now. I don't trust the people advising Trump. I don't trust people advising Hegseth. I don't trust the reasoning that they're giving because it's not true. Okay. I'm sorry to say this. The boats that are being bombed do not have fentanyl. The vast majority of fentanyl is produced in Mexico. The illegal fentanyl that kills people in America, it's produced in Mexico with Chinese starters, you know, whatever the precursors are made in China. They make the fentanyl in Mexico. They cross over the border on land. They're not – those boats aren't even going to America. I think most of them are going to Nicaragua, if I'm not mistaken, and then it's mostly cocaine. So they're shipping cocaine to Nicaragua, and we're bombing them out of the water. And it's been confirmed we've killed at least one innocent people. I think we've killed 83 people overall. And my question is just like, what is the point of this? What is the point of this? It's not, you know, that's not where the vast majority of the drugs are coming from. I really don't see it as a major threat to American security. There's like 10,000 other things I'd be doing with the American military if I had command. I don't remember him talking about going to war with Venezuela during the campaign. I just don't like it. And I especially don't like the normalization of this type of activity. I didn't like it when Barack Obama was drone striking American citizens in the Middle East, because that seems like a very severe escalation of the war powers granted to him by the Congress. And this seems like the same thing. Okay, if they're drug smugglers, they're drug smugglers. But then you just call them terrorists, and now they're non-enemy combatants of some sort. They're non-professional combatants or whatever the designation is to allow them to be eradicated. Okay. Is that only because it's international waters? Or does that designation extend here? It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, the Sackler family has killed more Americans with drugs than any Venezuelan ever has. Drone strike them. Drone strike the Sackler family who ran Purdue Pharmacy and created the opioid crisis that is in fact the precursor to the fentanyl deaths. They're prescribed these things because the Sackler family bribed doctors to overprescribe opioids to destroy Appalachia on purpose. So like drone strike them, I'm all for it. Some Venezuelan smuggler, who cares? Is it about normalizing this idea that the American government has an absolute right to just kill anybody they want because, trust us, they're bad guys? No evidence presented, no cross-examination of the evidence, just obliteration, totally unnecessary. Like, even just financially, it's a ridiculous thing. How much are these missiles costing? Is it really worth millions of dollars to use whatever hellfire missiles they're firing some orbital launch station? Like, what, against fishing boats or speedboats, really? Okay. Would it not be more valuable maybe to arrest them? Once you blow up like one or two ships, can't you just send the rest a message? White House confirms Hegseth authorized second strike on drug boat. This is another thing where they're trying to claim this is like a double tap thing. That's not what it is. It's just thinking about it for 5 seconds makes the whole thing ridiculous. So I see all these posts on X now where people are like, yeah, you know, in the Army, if you shoot at a person and it doesn't kill him, you're not allowed to shoot at him again. Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. Obviously, you're allowed to hit the same target more than one time. What are you talking about? Like, imagine if that was the rule of war. It's like these people think that war is a playground game where it's like if you strike a bunker, then all of your enemies can just go to that burned out bunker. Be like, we're on base. Wait a second. No, you're not allowed to strike us. You already struck this bunker. You can't strike it again. No, that's ridiculous. Obviously, you're allowed to strike it twice. Like, that's the thing. Those types of objections are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. Of course, you're allowed to strike a target more than once in war. What? That's ridiculous. Now, the second strike thing is when you strike a target and then you wait for emergency response to come and then you kill the medics on purpose. Like Israel does over and over. You know, like Israel got caught doing a month ago. Bombing a place and then waiting for the ambulances to come and then bombing the medics that arrive. That is, in fact, a war crime. That's the double tap that's actually illegal in international law and, you know, seen as a major violation of just the laws of war. Lawmakers suggest follow-up boat strike could be a war crime. Okay, but it's not. So thanks for your suggestion. Of course, this is contributing to and in line with and in collaboration with the Mark Kellys and the Seditious Six claiming that you have to say no to so-called illegal orders. Now they're saying these orders are illegal. These orders aren't illegal and you don't have a right to say no to illegal orders unless and only if they are prima facie, clearly and without speculation or subjectivity, totally illegal, like raping prisoners or murdering a bunch of innocent people. It's obviously not illegal. That being said, I think it's stupid. I think it's this is the thing. We've got whatever, you know the problems that we have. I mean, just absolutely everything is going down the shitter. Everything. I mean, we've got illegal immigrants still absolutely everywhere. The New York City basically is in total revolt, attacking ICE to this insane degree. So we're still having all these attacks on ICE facilities. We're still, I mean, the education has collapsed. Everything is collapsing in America. And instead of doing anything about any of that stuff, we're going to war with Venezuela. Fine. Whatever. Do what you want. Blow up the boats. Who cares? Can we focus on the normal stuff? But now it's like, this is dominating the headlines. Now, all these arguments are cropping up and all this division, all this chaos. And it's like, why are we even doing this? What is this? Why is so much energy, so much effort, so many resources going to arguing this thing that we shouldn't even really be doing and doesn't help us in the first place? Why is it that every headline today is about Pete Hegseth and bombing these boats and White House is standing by him? Now White House is throwing him under the bus. Actually, it wasn't him. He denies it, but it's legal and it's okay. And it's like, why is none of this is necessary? None of this is helping Americans. I don't buy any of it. Story after story, lawmakers just follow-up boat strike could be a crime. Trump, quote, wouldn't have wanted second strike on Caribbean boat survivors. Ex-president with whom Trump plans to pardon flooded America with cocaine. That's the other funny thing. He's literally pardoning a major, like, drug dealer. Hernandez, Juan Orlando Hernandez, who was a Honduran drug smuggler. He orchestrated a vast trafficking conspiracy that prosecutors said raked in millions for cartels while keeping Honduras one of America's Central America's poorest, most violent, corrupt countries. He was convicted on drug trafficking and weapons charges, sentenced to 45 years in prison, and now he's being pardoned, I guess, by Trump. Okay, so this is really about drug smuggling? I don't know. Are we going to use him now to go after the drug smugglers? This is ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. Trump reportedly gave Maduro an ultimatum to relinquish power in Venezuela. Trump backs Hegseth as Venezuelan boat strike scrutiny grows. Hegseth responds to report that boat survivors were killed as a result of his orders to military. Is U.S. President Donald Trump preparing to strike Venezuela? He declared the airspace closed. And so I look at this and I'm just like, what is this? Why is this the main focus? Why are we possibly committing, like, why is it even a question? Why are we doing something that can be framed as a war crime? What is the necessity of this? What problem are we actually solving here? We're stopping cocaine being shipped from Venezuela to Nicaragua while the vast majority of fentanyl comes across the Mexican border, gets on a boat, unless it's the precursors being shipped from China to Mexico. Meanwhile, China is systematically destroying life in the oceans all around South America, to the point where, like, literally they've killed like 40% of the coral reefs in their area, like actually, literally, irreversibly killing all of the life on planet Earth. And we're not doing anything about that. Not focused on that. No, we're blowing up Venezuelan boats. And so I look at this and it's just one of those things that it beggars an explanation. You know, this wasn't a major concern during his campaign. They haven't made the case publicly that this has anything to do with election fraud or China or anything like that. It's all about the drugs, apparently, but the drug boats they're destroying aren't shipping fentanyl and aren't going to America. So that doesn't make any sense. So what's the real answer here? And like everything else that America does that is inexplicable or retarded or self-defeating, it's Israel. Remember, the deep state in America is the Israeli Jewish mafia. That's what it is. When we say deep state, that's what it is. That's who's pulling the strings, obviously. And so when you look at Venezuela, and you look at the way that we're going after it, and the timing of how this came about, I am almost positive what happened here is that there was this incredibly intense push to get Trump to go to war with Iran. Trump didn't want to, refused to, and was being pressured in a million different ways by all sorts of subversives in his own administration, like Mike Waltz, who was the one who leaked the signal chat to try to oust Pete Hegseth, leaked it to his fellow Zionist friend at the Atlantic Council. Like, they really wanted Trump to go after Iran. Trump really understood how that would absolutely destroy his support in America. Like, nobody wants that. Nobody's for it. And it did, which just wouldn't be survivable politically. So he's not going to do it. And it was around that time that we decided Venezuela was a major, you know, concern. Around exactly the same time that Israel was bombing Qatar, that all of the other periphery. So in other words, Israel really wanted us to go after Iran. We refused to do that. And so they said, okay, you're not going to do that. If all of our blackmail and all of our pressure campaigns won't get you to move any more than you have, you'll bomb Iran, but you won't go to full war with it. Well, then you have to help us take out the proxies around the world. You're not going to help us take out Iran, then you have to help us take out Venezuela. You have to help us take out the Syrian Bashar al-Assad. And that whole party, you have to help us take out Hezbollah. Like, all of these other Iranian allied groups suddenly became the target of attack by America at around the time that we refused to go to war with Iran. That's the timeline. It makes sense to me. And if you look at the history of Venezuela, it's obvious that their support of Palestine has been incredibly valuable to the Palestinian people and an incredible source of outrage for the Israelis. And to me, that explanation makes sense. Nothing else really does. You can tell me I'm wrong, but like, you know, we were talking to, even talking to, people that are in the know about this. And it's like, well, where'd you get this information? And they're like, well, Israel. And it's like, okay, they're lying to you. It's not that complicated. They want you to take out Venezuela and they don't care why you take it out. They have their reasons because Venezuela is allies with Iran. It's because Hezbollah gets drug money and, you know, takes some of the fuel profits from Venezuela to continue their war against Israel. So they want to take them out. But that's not a very compelling reason for America to get into Venezuela in the minds of the American people. So you give them something else. I'll say it's about drugs then. Say it's about China. Say it's about Dominion voting systems. Whatever. It doesn't matter. They just want them taken out. Maybe there's some, you know, legitimacy to that. But I just don't buy it. I mean, we're going to go to war with Venezuela over the Dominion voting machines, but nobody in America has been arrested for it yet. Did everything operate out of it? It seems like if that was the case, they'd have to have somebody in America cooperating with them, right? Where are those arrests? What type of, you know, if this is really what it's about, what type of operation goes to war first before arresting the traitors inside America that helped carry this out? I don't buy it. I'm sorry. I just don't buy it. I don't buy the Trump minister. I don't believe the Trump administration when they say this stuff. And whether that's because the Trump administration themselves are lying or because they're being tricked by the Israelis, it's sort of, you know, tomato, tomato. It doesn't really matter. Same thing happened with Iran, where, again, you had Trump being told by his ODNI, the head, the national intelligence director at the top of all of the combined intelligence forces in America, saying one thing. And then Trump's just like, well, she's wrong. What? Wait, what? This is the combined knowledge of all of the intelligence agencies in America telling you one thing, but you're getting information from somewhere else. Gee, where could that be coming from? And of course, it's fake information. It's false information that leads us into bombing Iran and totally against our interests. I don't buy it. I'm sorry. I just don't buy any of it. Now, Curse at Encore Salad on X laid this out pretty extensively. The president of the United States is deceiving the American people about why he's gearing up to decapitate the leadership of Venezuela. He's using helping Americans as a pretext to help Israel. The U.S. has wanted to install a puppet regime in Venezuela since at least 2007, when the U.S. began tracking aeroterror flights from Caracas to Tehran. These flights were initially referred to as ghost flights because there are missing cargo manifests, but U.S. investigators alleged they were smuggling drugs, money, gold, and military equipment for the Quds Force and Hezbollah. As evidence continued to mount, Obama launched Operation Cassandra in 2008 to investigate and prosecute members of Hezbollah involved in cocaine smuggling network operated out of Venezuela and Colombia. U.S. officials believe this operation was helping to fund Hezbollah's effort to rebuild southern Lebanon after Israel bombed it for a full month in 2006 with cluster bombs. Obama eventually deprioritized Operation Cassandra in order to secure the JCPOA nuclear treaty with Iran. U.S. officials with the DEA claimed Hezbollah continued to smuggle cocaine into Europe, West Africa, and the U.S. after the JCPOA was signed. The agents involved with Operation Cassandra were eventually reassigned, but as soon as Trump started his first term, he began consulting with them again about Hezbollah's activities in Venezuela. During his first term, he also hired coup master neocon Jew Elliot Abrams and assigned him to Venezuela, which was an obvious signal that Trump wanted Maduro gone. Operation Cassandra agents claimed Hezbollah was selling cocaine in the U.S., Europe, and West Africa using drug revenue to buy and sell used cars and then laundering the money through a Lebanese bank in Canada. A few days ago, Trump designated Venezuelan drug network Cartel de las Solas a terrorist organization and claimed they're being abetted by top government officials, including Venezuela's own President Maduro. Trump has long suspected Venezuela's government of being involved in Hezbollah's drug smuggling operation, as evidenced by sanctions he placed on Venezuela's vice president, Tariq El Asami, in 2017 on the grounds that he was a drug kingpin involved with Hezbollah. Even if this were all true, Venezuela's drug production and drug trafficking into the U.S. pales in comparison to Mexico, Colombia, Peru, etc. It would be more beneficial to Americans if Trump focused on the southern border, the main route of drugs entering the United States, mostly via Mexican transnational criminal organizations. But that would leave routes to Europe and West Africa open for Hezbollah, which betrays the actual goal of this operation, to stop Hezbollah from rebuilding Lebanon again, like they had to do after the 2006 bombing. So Trump has positioned the U.S. military off the coast of Venezuela instead of the southern border to stop all drug trafficking and cut off the stream of funds for Hezbollah entirely. The rationale behind Trump's campaign against Venezuela has more to do with Israel than it does with America. Now, that all makes perfect sense to me. That all aligns. That all clicks. It all clicks together. Now, I think Alex has number one response to this. He says Trump is not going in under Operation Cassandra. It's because of Venezuela being the hub of election fraud against the United States. Again, I haven't heard Trump ever say that. The reason Trump is saying is because of drugs. That doesn't, but that's can't really be the case, as laid out before. So, I mean, if it's about election fraud, why doesn't he say that? Why haven't there been arrests in America? I don't know. I don't like it. What is this? So, again, I just don't buy it. And you've got all these articles. This is from July of 2024. Solidarity from Palestine to Venezuela. Meet the Palestinians observing Venezuela's elections. President Nicolas Maduro won a third term in office on Sunday, promising to continue and deepen Venezuela's anti-imperialist Bolivarian revolution. Many in the U.S. quickly denounced the elections as a sham provided over by a dictatorship. Yet the proceedings were presided over by more than 900 electoral observers from over 100 countries, including the state of Palestine. Mint Press News talked to several Palestinians who observed Venezuela's election and in the process uncovered tremendous and profound links of solidarity between the two nations whose peoples and struggles are closer than they might appear at first. You also have this from July of 2024. Venezuela, while U.S. politicians call fraud, American election observers endorse the results. And again, it's like, okay, in 2020, our election was stolen by the State Department. And maybe the best evidence of this is that they then unrolled exactly the same strategy in Bolivia. Our State Department, our CIA, send people down to Bolivia. I mean, not Bolivia, to Brazil, rather. They send people down to Brazil to rig the election against Bolsonaro in exactly the same way it was rigged against Trump. And then they had a January 6th false flag assault on the government buildings and threw everybody in prison for that. They literally ran point by point, beat by beat, exactly the same operation they ran here, they ran in Brazil. And they bragged about it. We read articles about it from the Financial Times explaining the State Department went down to Brazil to help secure their elections. And they just committed fraud in exactly the same way that they did here. So it's like, okay, if it was Venezuela that did that, why did our State Department do the same thing they did here in Brazil? It doesn't make any sense. I think we're being lied to. It's not that complicated. I think this has a hell of a lot more to do with America's endless support of Israel and willingness to do whatever Israel wants and take the blame for it and come up with excuses for why we're doing it. It's the same thing over and over, whether it's TikTok or ousting the Harvard president or going to war with Venezuela. They'll give you 10 different reasons why they're doing it when the truth is it's about Israel. 100% every single time. So, again, it's like maybe it's not the case. Maybe I'm just paranoid because everything else is this way. But I cannot co-sign or support blowing random boats out of the water with hellfire missiles because they might be transporting cocaine from Venezuela to Nicaragua. This is ridiculous. And I don't like it, and I don't trust it. I don't support it, and I'm not for the regime change war. I don't even know if it's going to happen. It's retarded.
Right now, this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, store-wide, 60% off on all the supplements, all the T-shirts, all the Patriot apparel at TheAlexJonesStore.com. That's TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've never done something like this. I mean, most of the T-shirts break even at that price because when they're an XXL or so, it's nice fabric, nice printing, and they're costing us like $15 a piece. So if you get a small, we make some money. I mean, that is such a deal in the ball caps. That is such a great deal. widest selection of T-shirts, ball caps, you name it. But when it comes to the supplements, the ultramethylene blue liquid, the capsules, the ultimate CMOS, the most powerful turmeric, the very best bovine colostrum, it's all there. 60% off. And look at these new hats that came in. Amazing. You've got Patriot. It's got the great, thick, nice, popular style, leather style decals on the apparel. Usually it's about 60% we make when it's not on sale. Well, when it's 60% off, do the math, because we talked about it. But we want to just flood the zone for your Christmas shopping early. TheAlexJonesStore.com. But I'm telling you, you want to get immediate health effects and just vitality and energy. Want to see how great the products are? Get the Shilajit, get the IRC Moss, and get the Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com. You've got less than 3 days.
Through the annals of time, beneath the clashing swords and roaring cannons, there raged another war. Unseen yet all-encompassing. The Info-War. From the whispered conspiracies of ancient courts to the fiery proclamations of revolutions, it was there. When the flames of heresy consumed the thinkers of old, it was there. When tyrants rose on the lies of propaganda and empires crumbled beneath the truth they couldn't silence, it was there. The InfoWar marched alongside the armies of men. The battle was not just for land or power.
That these colonies are, and of a right ought to be, free and independent states.
But for the hearts and minds and souls of those caught in its wake. More now than ever, the war rages on. Nations crumble, ideologies clash, and voices rise in defiance. For the battlefield of the InfoWar is everywhere, and everyone is a soldier. Truth is your weapon. Through every conflict, every uprising, and every moment of human struggle, the InfoWar was always there. Which side are you on? This is the fight for humanity. This is InfoWars.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support for so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Christmas is right around the corner, folks. It's going to be here before you know it. Make sure you're not running around the mall trying to do all your shopping Christmas Eve. Go today to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Presents for all the Info Warriors in your life. And 60% off every single product on the entire site. That means t-shirts. I don't know what that was. I wasn't looking up. I looked up and saw something very creepy. We'll never play that again as long as you go to TheAlexJonesStore.com today. Cyber Monday, 60% off the entire store. I'm telling you, folks, I was like you one time. Before I worked at InfoWars, I'd go to InfoWars store. I'd fill up the cart with stuff that looked awesome that I really wanted. It was very rare I ever went, you know, let's do it. Just do it, hit the order button, and then wait for the arrival. I bought a few t-shirts, and it was always when Alex was out on the road, you know, doing something, and I was just going, you know, I got to support this guy. Even, you know, no matter what, it's like he's me. He is my avatar in the real world. He's taking a bullhorn and yelling at the people I hate, and he's telling them exactly what I think. I got to support this guy. And so I hope we can get back to more of that once the bankruptcy dragon is off our back, and we plan to. But we continue to be the world leaders in information and shattering the paradigm of control that the New World Order is trying to saddle us with. And I just so greatly appreciate the ability to cover this stuff, even when I disagree with Alex. Alex, you know, he's, you know, if you listen to him, he can speak for himself. I don't need to speak for him, but, you know, he's like, this is all legal. And I think it is. I think legally Trump has the ability to do this. I think the most of the objections from the left are nonsensical and kind of ridiculous and just go along with the attempts by the seditious six to foment dissatisfaction in the ranks and to encourage, you know, ignoring orders. I think that's all ridiculous. I think, you know, the idea that you're not allowed to hit a target twice, it's just absurd to the highest degree. It's all nonsense, but I wish we didn't have to talk about it at all because I just don't like the whole thing happening. I'm just not for it. I'm just against it, and I'm suspicious of the reasoning. And I personally, I just think it's more credit to Alex that I can disagree with that. And I'm not, you know, being given dictates from on high, even though I respect and I appreciate Alex's view, obviously. And as I've always said, usually if I disagree with Alex about something, I'm not sitting there going, oh, Alex is wrong. I know better than him. I'm more like, well, what am I missing here? What is this all about? And hell, maybe it is, you know, part of a much larger sort of geopolitical chess game that's going on to try to oust China and Russia from infiltrating into the southern regions. Like, that might be the case. But however, I can't help but see parallels with this and with the Russian war in Ukraine, where it's like, okay, if I actually wanted what was best for America, I certainly wouldn't drive Russia into the arms of China. That's not what I would do. But our sanctions on Russia have had that exact effect. If I didn't want China making inroads into Central and South America, I probably wouldn't have put sanctions on Venezuela in 2017 that helped collapse their economy and led to China forgiving something like $60 billion in debt and aligning themselves ever closer to Venezuela. Like, we keep doing these things and they keep backfiring. They keep having the opposite consequence of what we want. And I think the same thing's going to happen in Venezuela. And I think the leadership in Venezuela is telling their people, we represent you, we're fighting for you. And here come these imperialistic foreigners parking a aircraft carrier off our shores, menacing and threatening me, your beloved champion, right? That's what Maduro's telling his people. And frankly, they've got all the proof right there. So I don't understand how this is. I don't think it is weakening Maduro. I think if anything, it's probably strengthening him. And I don't think a invasion of Venezuela is going to go smoothly if that's what's on the table. I think it's going to result in a lot of bloodshed and a lot of death and probably a lot more displaced people coming to America. Well, why are we doing this again? I just don't get it. I don't agree with it. But I guess we're doing it. I guess that's just what we're doing. And that's what everybody's talking about constantly now. We're not talking about the actual threats to America. We're not talking about the collapse of our demographics as designed by the people who destroyed our immigration system. We're not getting the mass deportations required of all of this. I just don't see it. I don't see the priority. I don't see the reasoning for the priority of this. But oh well, I guess it's just what it is. And again, the frustration is the unwillingness of the Republicans to do anything. You know, I think Trump does have the right instincts. I think the Truth Social posts he put out show that he wants more action being done, but it's not being done. Nothing is happening. James Comey and Letitia James aren't even indicted anymore. That's been reversed. Now Alina Habba is, you know, being stripped of her role in New Jersey by some judge. The judges are just tearing apart absolutely everything Trump is trying to do, even though I don't think they have any standing. In fact, then we have a Supreme Court decision said they don't have any standing to stop, you know, nationwide orders from Trump. I mean, it just keeps going on and on. And at a certain point, We just have to do the necessary thing. Even when it's going to make people mad, even if it's going to cause outrage, you just have to do it. Because things are spiraling still out of control. Nothing is being reined in. Nothing. Again, I'm not trying to blackpill, but like I said, this is a war we have to win. So what are we doing? Trump's approval is cratering. It's the lowest it's ever been. He came into office with his political credit card had no limit. He had so much political capital. He had spent the entirety of the 2024 campaign becoming more and more extreme. He never moderated his message. He didn't get into office saying, well, the first time I was extreme, but now I'm going to step things back. No, he doubled down on absolutely everything, and he got more votes than ever before. He won the popular vote in addition to the Electoral College vote. He had the Congress and the Senate. I say had because it feels like it's over already. Feels like if nothing has happened by this point, nothing's going to happen. I'd love to prove me wrong. Please, please prove me wrong. I would love to be sitting here a year from now and going, gee, was I incorrect. Republicans swept the midterms and all the Democrats are in prison and the traffic is lower because all the deportations have happened. I would just love to be proven wrong. I don't see it happening anytime soon, or at all, for that matter. So I don't know. I don't know what else to say about this, other than we just have to do what is necessary. I mean, you would think by now, 11 months into the administration, there'd be some effective strategic update to allow ICE to deport illegals without being stopped by a bunch of shrieking liberal women, but that's not the case. Now, the crowds are getting bigger. The interference of ICE and going out and physically attacking them or stopping their cars is only increasing. You want to see the latest? This is from this weekend in New York City. Do we have that? Guys, it's just the chaos of the ICE tries to go out. Clip number 12 here. This is what it's like in New York right now. This is, an ICE vehicle trying to drive some lady in a mask, trying to stop him. Like, I don't understand. I really don't understand. If somebody robs a bank and then I throw myself in front of a cop car that's trying to arrest them, they arrest me, right? Isn't that what happens? If you interfere with an arrest, you then get thrown into prison. Why are these people not being arrested? Why are they not being thrown into prison? Every single one of them. What is going on here? I'm telling you, it just goes on. So it's only getting worse. ICE is only getting more interfered with. What are we doing? So, okay, the trajectory is more and more ICE interference, more and more protest, more and more people, surrounding ICE vehicles and attacking them. It was just this weekend. They look exactly the same, very similar to what was happening in LA 10 months ago. Apparently nothing has changed. No update to the strategy, no attempt to arrest these people, no attempt to destroy the communication networks that they all use to coordinate their actions. So, I mean, I genuinely don't understand. What other, who do we need to get in there who can take this seriously? We are at war here, folks. And maybe the biggest irony is that, anytime you bring up war with Iran, people try to get... one of the only justifications people have is, well, they chant death to America. Okay, so if they chant death to America, we should drop a nuclear bomb on them. We should invade their country and destroy it. We have communities in America chanting death to America. And they're given billions of dollars by USAID and they're settled here specifically by our government. They're flown in from God knows where, parts unknown, in the third world to our country, given, granted, entire congressional districts, and they still chant death to America, and we can't do anything about it, but we can go to war with Iran because a different country chants death to it. Like, this is what I mean when I can't take any of this stuff seriously. New Yorkers appear to foil ICE raid before it begins. For the second time in just over a month, a large-scale raid by dozens of immigration agents in New York City was met with a similarly large-scale counter-protest. This time, however, the protesters thwarted the authorities' plans before they even began. Multiple arrests were made on Saturday during scuffles at the edge of Chinatown, during which hundreds of protesters faced off with federal agents, eventually supported by the New York Police Department as they prepared to launch a raid in the area. It comes just a month after a raid by 50 federal agents using military-style vehicles stormed nearby Canal Street in Lower Manhattan and was met with the protest of hundreds in response. And by the way, now Canal Street is again filled with illegal immigrants hawking stolen or fraudulent goods because they didn't actually clear out anybody. Confrontation also comes amid a reported surge in activity by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents in the city in recent weeks, despite a friendly encounter between Mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani and President Donald Trump earlier this month that appeared to avert a shutdown over the issue, a showdown over the issue. Which again, you know, we told you this. He's like, oh yeah, well, Mamdani wants these people kicked out too. No, he doesn't. What are you talking about? And it's just like all this stuff. There's so many things over this week that, you know, again, because I wasn't really like paying close attention to it. I would just see a headline. It was just like, yeah, right. Right. It's like Trump vows to freeze migration from third world countries after DC attack. Did he? Did that happen? I don't think so. I don't know. Did it? I mean, he announced it. Did it happen? No, it didn't happen. No, I don't think so. U.S. President Donald Trump said on Thursday his administration will permanently pause migration from all third world countries following the death of a National Guard member from an attack near the White House. The comment marks a further escalation of migration measures Trump has ordered since the shooting on Wednesday that investigators say was carried out by an Afghan national who entered the U.S. in 2021 under a resettlement program that, of course, was supported by Republicans and Democrats. And in fact, some of the people pushing for that most were people like Ipatch McCain. Lindsey Graham. Trump did not identify any countries by name or explain what he meant by third world countries or permanently pause. He said that the plan would include cases under former President Joe Biden's administration. I will permanently pause migration from all third world countries to allow the U.S. system to fully recover, terminate all the millions of Biden illegal admissions, including those signed by Sleepy Joe Biden's auto pin, and remove anyone who is not a net asset to the United States. Okay, has that happened? Is he doing that? What does third world mean? For people that don't know, third world is a holdover from the Cold War. It doesn't just mean a poor country. It's supposed to mean a country that's not aligned with capitalism or communism. It just kind of became this catch-all term for developing countries. But it comes from it was your first world if you were in Western Europe or America. You were second world if you were USSR or supported by them. You were third world if you were an African country that was being pulled from both directions. So even that, it's like, what does it even mean third world? Because that doesn't mean India. India is not third world. So are we still getting immigrants from there? Like, what does that even mean? And is it happening? I don't think so. Okay. So he says another thing where he's like, all the Biden auto pin stuff is null and void. Okay. So what's happening? Okay. So Anthony Fauci's being arrested. Hunter Biden's being arrested because the auto pin pre-whatever pardons aren't valid. So now they're being arrested, right? No, they're not? Okay. All the orders, Biden and the immigrants coming over, those have all been eviscerated. So now that's all being undone. Like, just time and again over the last week, there's been like six things where, you know, Trump comes out and makes a statement and I just have to roll my eyes because it's just like, that's just not happening. I don't know why he's even making these statements. It's not happening. So what are we doing? It doesn't make any sense. Right? I mean, has that happened? So they undid all of the auto pin stuff. So everything by, I mean, 98% of things signed were by his auto pin. So has all of that been reversed? Is it all being undone? What does that even look like? What does that mean? Which ones are being undone? None of them? It was just another statement that doesn't mean anything? Okay, great. He's ending a temporary protected status. I'll believe it when I see it, I guess. I just don't, you like, if all of these things were happening, I'd be extremely happy. I'd be thrilled. All the auto pin pardons were undone and all those people were being arrested. I'd be over the moon. If he ended temporary protected status for the Somalians or the Afghans, and the next day 50% of them were loaded onto planes and sent back to the country, I would be tap dancing across the desk. None of it's happening. It's not happening. I think they're lying to us. I think they're stringing us along. Am I wrong? I mean, what actually is happening? The Seditious Six are not only still out there, they're going on TV and doubling down on their statements, challenging Trump to arrest him. It's so baffling to me. The Mark Kelly guy is the best example. I know they're going over this on Alex's show, where it's like he is still in uniform. He is still under the jurisdiction of military courts. If I had come back from a week vacation and seen that Mark Kelly had been subjected to a military tribunal and thrown into prison, I would be weeping in joy. It'd be so thrilling. It's been a month since they made this video and nothing is happening. Nothing has happened to them. And I'm pretty confident saying nothing will ever happen to them. Is that not infuriating to anybody else? It's not a speculation. It's not like I've read the code 100 times on this show. They absolutely 100% broke the law in making that video. Do we have to have their permission? Do they have to agree to that? I just don't get it. I really don't. There's a story over the weekend of some bar in Idaho. The police raid it and arrest like 283 kids, 18-year-olds drinking alcohol. And it's like, okay, what was the process to get that going? Somebody called the cops and said, we think there's a crime being committed. Police went and investigated, saw that it was happening, so then they arrested everybody there. How is that not just what's happening with all of these treasonous people? They broke the law. What are we doing? They've rigged the election. They've divided this country over and over again on their just flagrant deception. And it's just like, what are the laws anymore? What does anything mean? So drinking as an 18-year-old, full court press, 100 cops slamming you to the ground and dragging you away. You commit open treason and nothing happens. You flood this country with 50 million people and you get the Medal of Honor. You get the Presidential Medal of Freedom put around your neck. And it's like, we don't even need it. It's so weird because as a sovereign nation with a native population of actual Americans, we don't need a single excuse to withdraw temporary protected status or immigration. It could literally be just because the president doesn't like the way they look. Those Somalis, they got weird head shapes. Yeah, I'm kicking all of them out. We don't need an excuse. But instead, we're given excuse after excuse after excuse, reason after reason after reason. Massive, just unrelenting fraud. Not just fraud, debasing Medicaid and just exploiting the American taxpayer to the maximum degree. They then send that money to a terrorist group in Somalia. I mean, it's like, and we can't just deport all of them? What are we talking about? We don't even need a reason to. We could do it. And the whole thing is temporary protected. It's supposed to be temporary. It's in the name. It's supposed to be withdrawn at a certain point. We don't need an excuse. We don't need a reason. It's just like you don't need a reason to kick somebody out of your house. If they don't live there, you can kick them out for whatever. You don't have to have a reason. But somehow we get reason after reason after reason after reason after reason, and we just don't do anything about it. Again, it's infuriating. Minnesota scandal explodes. 480 DHS employees accused Governor Tim Walz of orchestrating a massive cover-up, retaliated against whistleblowers to shield Somali immigrant fraud ring that stole over a billion dollars. Tim Walz is under fire after employees at the Minnesota Department of Human Services issued a bombshell statement accusing the far-left governor of orchestrating a sweeping cover-up to shield a sprawling Somali immigrant fraud ring that stole more than $1 billion in taxpayer funds and punishing whistleblowers who tried to stop it. According to DHS insiders, Walz not only ignored early warnings, but actively retaliated against agency employees who sounded the alarm. They now accuse his administration of using political intimidation, monitoring threats, and agency manipulation to suppress evidence and silence witnesses. As Gateway Pundit reported, 70 members of the Somali community in Minnesota were involved in stealing $250 million in COVID funds that were intended to feed children. Millions of dollars were stolen from American taxpayers and sent overseas to Somalia, and 80% of the money has never been recovered. Seven defendants were tried in connection to the scheme on charges related to stealing more than $40 million in taxpayer funds, and five were found guilty. However, the FBI is still investigating an attempt by a Somali woman to bribe one of the jurors with $120,000 in cash. And the fraud extends deeper, with multiple schemes of this nature occurring over the last 5 years and supported and covered up by Tim Walz. And it's just like, okay, so what are we doing? So Trump has announced he's removing temporary protected status. So now all of them are going back, right? All of the Somalis are being sent back. And Tim Walz is being thrown in jail for his participation in the fraud. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work, right? I mean, it's one thing, like, if the cops are investigating a murder and I hide the murder weapon, I'm going to jail when they catch me, right? Now, what happens if the police themselves cover it up? What happens when it's exposed that the very people we have empowered with the authority to protect us are instead engaged in the criminality? Are they allowed to get away with it, or is the punishment even worse? It should be even worse because they're in a position of trust. They've taken an oath. When they break that oath, something should happen to them. So again, it's frustrating because we see the attack from every angle. We see our quality of life being diminished in every possible way. And the solution that everybody seems desperate for is literally just enforce the law. Could not be more simple. Could not be more direct. Could not be easier. Could not be more righteous. Just enforce the law and none of these problems would exist. Instead, we have to endlessly debate over these people that shouldn't even be here. I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Welcome back, folks. The FDA has come out with a very interesting statement. FDA blames COVID shots for 10 kids' death and will tighten vaccine reviews. Food and Drug Administration officials say they're going to scrutinize vaccines more strongly. Speaking on Fox News Saturday morning, FDA Commissioner Marty Makary said the agency would no longer rubber stamp new products that don't work, claiming it made a mockery of science. I want to go to Adam Carolla's response to this, clip 26. Here's him reacting to the news that the FDA announced at least 10 children died as a result of the vaccine. Let's watch.
New director of the Food and Drug Administration's vaccine division told his agency in a staff memo that an internal review found that at least 10 children died after and because of receiving the COVID vaccine.
Well, look, if they're healthy, then that's more kids than died of COVID while healthy. It's all the kids. It all back to the kids. Every road's to the kids. That's all they did was the kids. That's all they did was scare dumb mamas. Dumb mamas controlled the house, and dumb mamas became their foot soldiers and did their bidding. So it's basically like you go, look, what do you want? You go, well, I want everyone to not take ivermectin and not take hydroxychloroquine and get vaccinated and stay in and shut shelter in place and wipe everything out with Purell. You are not going to get that done with me. You will get it done with a dumbass wife. You poison her brain and you get to her, and then she inflicts. She is the disciplinarian. She lays down all the rules, the COVID rules at the house, right? And the way you get her is you scare her about kids. That's sure. What works with her. So kids, kids, kids. If they had just said at the beginning of this, you know, it doesn't really appear to harm healthy kids. It just doesn't. It just doesn't seem to have, or it's like maybe a flu or a cold to a healthy young person. So it doesn't really seem to affect kids. It would have been a totally different trajectory. We wouldn't have shut the schools down. We wouldn't have shut society. If they had told us what they knew about kids, then we would have gone a different direction, but they never did. They never did. They wouldn't, because they held that, they guarded that information, and they guarded that information because once you let the kids off the danger hook, like if you said, it doesn't appear to really be dangerous to healthy kids, then every mom in the world would have stopped enforcing all the retarded edicts they put before her. And that's where we got. And that's why the dumb moms got the kids vaccinated and was totally unnecessary for them.
Absolutely.
And now it's dangerous. Thanks, moms. Yeah. Great job. Mm-hmm. Next time, ask a question, would you please, before you light your Fauci candle? Dumb shits.
Yep.
Everyone in this fucking safety sphere and all this thing, it's fucking us up. You guys fucked up your kids in the name of safety. Good job, moms.
Smart.
Keep listening to dopes who lie to you.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm jealous of his ability to drop the F-bomb, because that's what this story deserves. It killed 10 children. They're reporting this in the news like it's like questionable or something. Now, I killed a lot more than 10 children, let's be honest. And that's what the FDA says, by the way, in their actual letter. They say, quote, these deaths are related to vaccination. That number is certainly an underestimate due to underreporting and inherent bias and attribution. The safety signal has far-reaching implications for Americans, U.S. pandemic response, and the agency itself, which I discuss here. I also want to address some frequent objections. So like they even say, like, yeah, this is a massive, you know, undercount, but we can confirm at least with absolute certainty, at least 10 kids were killed. And then it gets into myocarditis and the danger of that. That was underplayed. Now, if you're watching InfoWars, you knew from the very beginning that COVID wasn't dangerous to children and the vaccine wasn't necessary. We told you that the entire time. people just want to listen to the experts, even when they're lied to continuously. They killed 10 children, but picture a little kid you know in your life, maybe a nephew or a niece, and then imagine them spasming out until they die because of a vaccine, and then imagine the bureaucrat covering it up.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls in this final hour. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls here on the War Room. That again is 1-877-789-2539. I have more videos to get to as well today. Just more of the same stuff, really. But I want to stick with this FDA story for a second, because again, the way this is being covered by the media is very interesting. You know, the one headline that's like, FDA links 10 children's death to COVID-19 vaccines. Doctors want proof. Yeah, we better get proof of this. Well, you never ask for proof of the vaccine's efficacy or the vaccine's safety. And there is no proof for that. It ain't safe or effective. You didn't question where the virus came from. You didn't question any of the measures taken to mitigate the spread, like shutting down schools or closing the entire economy. No questions until now. Now, here we are, 5 years after the pandemic, and finally doctors have learned to question authorities. What a miracle. What a miracle this is. Top vaccine chief at the Food and Drug Administration sent out a memo saying the FDA will seek a stricter review and approval protocol for vaccine trials. In the memo on Friday, Dr. Vinay Prasad claimed a new review of records linked 10 children's death to the COVID vaccine. These deaths are related to vaccination, likely probable possible attribution made by staff, Prasad wrote. No information about how conclusions were reached was shared in the memo, nor were they made public or published in a peer-reviewed journal. Oh, we got questions then. They're very suspicious. FDA Commissioner Mike Makary, in an interview with Fox News over the weekend, said the agency would make information available about the deaths related to coronavirus shot. He said that the Biden administration didn't. But when you read this, you'll get the idea implanted in your mind that somehow this is uncertain, that this Makary guy maybe just did this on his own. If we can just discredit him, then this whole thing can go away. When you actually read the letter that they do not quote, and do not actually tell their readers about. Instead, they have quotes of people questioning this, right? They have, they present this in a way that questions it from the beginning, right? The headline implants in your head the idea that, yeah, they attributed 10 deaths, but maybe not. So maybe you don't have to worry about it too much. The headline signals that, and then everybody they quote inside is people going, well, we don't really know. You know, quote, to make such a claim, one would need to know basic things such as the age of the patient, the type of vaccines they received, their underlying conditions, what type of analysis was done to establish a causal link, etc. Adalja added. Now, again, where was literally any of this during COVID? Making these exact same demands during COVID would have gotten you kicked off of X, would have gotten you kicked off of Twitter or banned from YouTube. If you were to say exactly the same thing. You know, you're making all these claims, but to make these claims, we need to know the basic things like the age of the patient, the type of virus they got, what their underlying conditions were. All of that was covered up. And people who died because they were hit by a car on a motorcycle were called COVID deaths. But wouldn't it be nice to know what are the underlying conditions? Did these people really die from COVID? Is it really that threatening to people who are young? And the answer to all of that is no. It wasn't threatening to young people. It didn't kill the number of people they said it did. It wasn't nearly as dangerous to the vast majority of people as they said it was. It didn't need a vaccine for us to get over it. And the vaccine that they did deliver didn't stop the virus. Like, this is the thing. This is what I mean when I'm talking about, like, people that are just waking up right now and they're, like, just discovering this. Open your mind to the possibility of real evil. You really have to come to terms with the fact that you have lived through and are living through the greatest act of mass murder the world has ever seen with COVID. It is insane what we went through. And if you got through COVID without asking questions, without becoming skeptical of authorities, then you are brain dead. I'm sorry to say. You have rocks in your head instead of a brain, because what is wrong with you? And I get it. It is scary. It's not easy to really come to terms with the fact that your entire government, the entire media apparatus, the entire medical industry, the pharmaceutical companies, that they're all in it together and they're all engaged in a conspiracy to kill you. It's a little bit overwhelming, but it's the truth. You have to accept that. You have to open your mind and understand these people know exactly what they're doing. People that wrote this article right here know that they're seeding doubts and trying to discredit something that is true and that is trying to stop children from being killed. They are trying to kill children when they write articles like this. You really have to understand the level of evil that we're up against here. It's not complicated. It's just evil. I feel like people, they don't want to believe that people are just genuinely sick in the mind. And they want to try to come up with like, well, but they thought they were doing the right thing. These people, they don't think they're doing the right thing. They know they're not doing the right thing. How could you even make that argument? The FDA comes out and says, hey, we have 10 kids that were killed by the vaccine. And their first thought is, how do we cover this up? How do we cast doubt about that claim? What is going on in their mind? You really have to ask yourself. When you hear that kids died from the COVID vaccine, is your first thought, we have to protect the vaccine institutions from this reality? What type of person thinks that way? Evil people. Evil, evil people. We are surrounded, folks. And if they actually, the perhaps the most damaging thing that they do is withhold knowledge from people. You can read that whole article that ostensibly is about this letter from the FDA. They quote, maybe one line from this, and then the rest of the quotes are from random people. You don't even know who they are. You've never heard of them before. But they tell you they're the authorities, they're the experts, and they have doubts about this. They can't elucidate their doubts. They can't explain what is wrong about this or why they would oppose this decision being made. It's just there to seed doubts into your mind and to withhold the reality of what this statement says, because it is damning of the entire system. Here's what it says. I'm writing to report that OBPV career staff have found that at least 10 children have died after and because of receiving the COVID-19 vaccination. These deaths are related to vaccination, parentheses, likely slash probable slash possible attribution made by the staff, close parentheses. That number is certainly an underestimate due to underreporting, inherent bias, and attribution. The signal safety data has far-reaching implications for Americans, the U.S. pandemic response, and the agency itself, which I wish to discuss here. I also wish to discuss some frequent objections. Prior to joining the U.S. FDA, the FDA commissioner closely followed reports of vaccine-induced myocarditis. Unlike the COVID virus, which has a steep age gradient, being at least 1,000 times more likely to kill an 80-year-old than an 8-year-old, myocarditis appears to have the opposite pattern. Young, healthy boys and men who are least likely to experience bad COVID outcomes bore the greatest risk. The risk was as high as 200 to 330 per million doses given in the highest risk demographic groups. Notably, the US FDA and CDC were not the first to recognize the safety signal. Instead, the Israelis were, and worse, in May of 2021, then CDC Director Rochelle Walensky stated, quote, "We have not seen a signal, and we've actually looked intentionally for the signal in the over 200 million doses we've given." Many felt the statement was dishonest and manipulative. It was. It was an absolute lie. And even this is downplaying. I mean, if you followed this along, you know how all of the tests were completely rigged. I mean, literally, they had, if somebody died in the COVID, you know, vaccine study group, they just removed them from the group. And it was, it doesn't count. Just take them out. Like, it, you really have to understand what these people are willing to do. And then you have to ask, what would be worth this? What are these people pursuing that would be worth killing children for? These people are playing the ultimate game. They are trying to enslave all of humanity, and they're trying to kill anybody that resists. It's not complicated. The commissioner, senior advisor Tracy Beth Hoag, or Haig, MD, PhD, myself and colleagues demonstrated that COVID-19 boosters and the accompanying mandates by colleges were on balance harmful to young men in a widely discussed peer-reviewed paper in 2022. Like many academic physicians, we felt the CDC and FDA abdicated their duty to the American people. These agencies did not quickly attempt mitigation strategies such as spacing doses apart, lowering doses, omitting doses with those with prior COVID-19. No, they literally told you that natural resistance didn't exist. They told you that natural antibodies don't exist. They lied to you about germ theory that's been established for 400 years. And you went along with it for some reason because you're an idiot. I don't know why. Worse, the FDA delayed acknowledgement of the safety signal until after it could extend marketing authorization to younger boys 12 to 15. This is described by the commission, and I in JMA. Had the acknowledgement come earlier, these young boys who likely did not require COVID-19 vaccination may have chosen to avoid the products. But now they have myocarditis, which has a rate of death 50% in the first 5 years. In the summer of 2025, Dr. Haig began investigating VAERS reports of children who had died after administration of the COVID-19 vaccine. By late summer, she had concluded that there were, in fact, deaths, a fact the agency has never publicly admitted. Dr. Haig organized a small meeting to discuss these deaths with OVRR and OBPV stakeholders. These slides she presented, emails she sent, and distorted firsthand reports were shared with media outlets. The general narrative was that OVRR staff disagreed with Dr. Haig's assessment that the deaths were due to vaccine receipt. Some staff present who leaked portrayed the incident as Dr. Haig attempting to create a false fear regarding vaccines. You know what? Like, it's just crazy. I mean, these people are like religiously dedicated to poison. It's great. It's just. It's so crazy. I then asked OBPV to perform a detailed analysis of deaths voluntarily reported to VAERS system in full interest of balance. Causality is easy to assess in randomized trial, but with case reports, causality is typically assessed on a subjective scale, in this scale ranging from certain to unlikely, certain possibly likely, and probable are broadly considered as related to the product. So again, it just goes on and on. They analyzed 96 deaths between 2021 and 2024 and concludes that no fewer than 10 are related. If anything, this represents conservative coding where vaccines are exculpated rather than indicted in cases of ambiguity. The real number is higher. And they didn't tell you any of this stuff. They didn't tell you about the deaths they knew about. They didn't tell you about the papers that were written in 2021 or 2022 explaining the danger of myocarditis or other, you know, vaccine-induced injuries. And they don't tell you in ABC News about the VAERS reporting system or the massive, unbelievable spike in reported negative consequences of the vaccine immediately following the rollout of the vaccine. They don't talk about the rise in deaths in the death rate that spiked immediately after the rollout of the vaccine, although it never spiked under COVID itself. They don't tell you about the fact that all of these things were deliberately covered up by the FDA as they were simultaneously certifying the vaccine for distribution to 12 and 15-year-olds, even though they knew that it was young people who would be most likely to die from the vaccine and least likely to die from COVID. They don't tell you about any of that stuff. They tell you the headline, and then they seed doubt, 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 doubt. Just here's a person doubting it. Here's an expert doubting it. Here's an expert doubting it. They don't go over any of this very well-sourced, very authoritative memo, which details not only the deaths, but the cover-up that ensued after. It goes on. This is a profound revelation. For the first time, the U.S. FDA will acknowledge that COVID-19 vaccines have killed American children. Healthy young children who face tremendously low risk of death were coerced at the behest of the Biden administration via school and work mandates to receive a vaccine that could result in death. In many cases, such mandates were harmful. It is difficult to read cases where kids aged 7 to 16 may be dead as a result of COVID vaccines. And then he asked the question, did the COVID-19 vaccine programs kill more healthy kids than it saved? I would argue that COVID, I haven't seen COVID officially designated as responsible for killing any healthy kids ever. I believe the death rate is zero. For children under 18 that were otherwise healthy, nobody died from COVID. So if only 10 people died from the vaccines, that would already be negative efficacy. But that is really just the tip of the iceberg. The tip of a chunk of ice that came off the actual iceberg. And again, we never even did these studies. And by the way that we track this stuff is voluntary and ignored most of the time anyway. So again, it's so much worse than you could possibly imagine. It's so much worse than is relayed by the mainstream media, whose only relation to this announcement by the FDA is to ignore or undermine it. But I hope viewers of this program can think for themselves. Let's go out to your calls now. We've got Patriot Independent in Virginia who called in first. Go ahead. Patriot Independent, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Harrison? How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Well, I got four things I want to cover here. First thing is a product plug. I want to say absolutely love the CMOS capsules. They're game-changing. Energy levels, peaking my energy levels. Blood sugar is lower. I'd like to see, and there's a few others, probably like to see Survival Shield X2 come to the Alex Jones store. And one product that I haven't seen in a while that I used to get from my daughter back years ago was Honor Roll. I don't know if you remember that product.
Yeah, that was a good one. I'm going to have to get Rex in here to tell you what you can take, other than those products. I know the Irish sea moss is a really good source of iodine. It's not pure iodine, but it, naturally occurs there. As you may know, there's a deep earth source of iodine. You can also get iodine from sea moss, believe it or not. So I know, Rex is the expert here, but I believe I remember him saying that it's a very good source of iodine there. But you like the sea moss capsules, not the gummies. I like the gummies. I take the sea moss gummies.
Yeah, I've got the gummies, but my daughter takes those, so
okay.
I usually try to take those every now and then. But the next thing is here in Virginia, where I'm at, after January 17th, we are going to be in a fight of our lives, pretty much, with the Democrats in Virginia. They've already got multiple bills lined up, so after January 17th, they're going to sign in a lot of anti-gun legislation. It's the gun legislation that is getting ready to be signed in Virginia. It's going to make California look conservative. I'll put it to you that way.
That's already happened a few times. I mean, Richmond was the site of the big protest against gun laws there in Virginia. Must have been 2021. When was that? I guess it was right before January, maybe 2020. Because we were there on the ground with 10,000 gun-toting Americans surrounding the state house there in Richmond, demanding that they don't pass the gun laws, and then they passed them anyway. So I guess we're expecting more of that in the next session.
It's supposed to get really, really bad, and then they're going to do the Sharia law throughout the whole state, make Sharia law pretty much legal throughout the whole state of Virginia, and a lot of this ties back to this. Declassified document that I got from a good friend of mine is the Muslim Brotherhood and their plan for America. And I'm going to go over that and then the fight in Virginia. I'm going to cover all that in detail on my YouTube channel if I can. Could I shout it out?
Shout it out.
If anybody wants Patriot Independence on YouTube, that's at Patriot Independence 1776. And one more thing. I got an idea for Alex's final show.
Okay.
All right. So I've been a longtime listener since about mid-2011, from back when he was in his original studio with the on-air sign and the little TV beside him. He had one little TV behind him and, the OG studio.
Yep.
That's where it all started. And that's where a lot of the OGs remember. So I think it would be fitting to send out the final show in the OG studio.
That's not a bad idea. We converted that studio into our podcast studio. So it's still wired. We could go out of there. I'll tell you, I've talked to Alex before and I'll say he pines for those days because he's like, man, in that little room, you can just focus in and drill down. But it's almost like he felt like he had to go to the bigger studios. He's like, what I'm doing is too big. It's too spectacular. And even though it is against his inclinations, he built the big studios to be like, we got to show people that we're the real deal. And so it was almost against his own inclination to ever leave that little studio. But it's still back there. It's right behind me, about 50 yards back. That's not a bad idea. Thank you so much for the call. Patriot Independent on YouTube at Patriot Independence 1776. I'll check out your channel. Thank you for that. And I'm not looking forward to what becomes of Virginia with these new murderous, hateful scumbags in charge. Let's go to another call here. Tim in California. Thanks for calling in about an Afghan national terrorist. Go ahead.
Yep. Thank you for taking my call, Harrison. Yeah, it's sort of like when Michael Jackson died and Farrah Fawcett died, everyone forgot all about Farrah Fawcett dying because Michael Jackson died, right?
Right.
They both died the same day. Similarly, the day before the shooting, the Wednesday shooting of the two National Guardsmen in D.C., there was actually the Department of Homeland Security arrested another Afghan national the day before, but he was on TikTok threatening that he had built a bomb and that he's going to bomb a Texas city. I believe it's going to be Fort Worth. But this story is on the Saturday's New York Post, viewable on nypost.com. The headline is Afghan National from Operation Allies Welcome, arrested and charged for threatening to bomb Texas City. And that same Operation Allies Welcome is the one that the shooter in D.C. came in on, and he was all hooked up with the CIA and all this. This guy, not so much. However, notably, this guy's already, as of September of 22, they said he's already like a permanent resident, like he's basically a citizen. So we got an Afghan guy, basically a citizen, that decided, hey, I'm going to threaten to bomb, a Texas city.
Yeah, I mean, the Afghan resettlement program has literally been nothing but trouble. I'll get into some more of it on the other side. I'll go directly out to phone calls as well. Operation Allies Welcome, the program officials say, brought the D.C. shooting suspect to the U.S., and he was engaged in the CIA. And this is one of those things where, like all really good false flags, they are both real and fake at the same time. Like, obviously, there is a major threat of the Afghan imports here and the radical Islam and the terrorist attacks. Like, that's real, and we need to confront it. At the same time, it was done on purpose, I think, by our own side, who want to foster a sort of religious war with the Muslims as the enemies, as part of a wider geopolitical plan. Which, by the way, I haven't even covered. Over the week that I was gone, the Pope is meeting with the Bishop of Constantinople, who you might recognize as the guy that I always talk about being the one who signed off on the breakaway Ukrainian church away from the Russian Orthodox Church. He's a globalist plant in the Eastern Orthodox power structure. He met with the Pope as they create their one world religion. It's all a scam.
I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on, where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product because it has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal. And every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a lost leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air to be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Dollar Shows Network. We've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at TheAlexTheStore.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars, as we fight to stay on here, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. And again, I don't own TheAlexTheStore.com. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there, be the news director, and we're going to continue on. And they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, because we'll never give up, never back down, never give in. We could give out. Is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. The Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates. You share them everywhere. You take the clips. You take the articles. You take the video links. And that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money so we sell you great products that really work. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high-quality food at reasonable prices. So you want to come back. There's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You've just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the ultramethylene blue or the sea moss or the other products and see how great it is. That's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWars has existed. It will continue on despite a URL, because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here. But you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this. The other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And God bless you all.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, folks, we're going to go directly out to your calls here. This is the War Room. Remember, you only have a few more hours. Take advantage of the biggest sale we've ever had. 60% off absolutely everything on the site, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. This offer ends tonight at midnight. Every purchase gets 50 times entries to win the Jeep Rubicon 392, plus $10,000 cash, and the brand new Ford Raptor, plus $10,000 cash. Somebody's going to win them. Why not you? Why not you? Go now. 60% off every single product on the site. Order now to make sure it arrives by Christmas. Do your Christmas shopping with the good guys over at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We so appreciate it. Let's go now out to your calls. Once again, we go to Sean in California. We got a lot of California callers today. Go ahead, Sean. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. good afternoon, Harrison.
Good afternoon.
Still getting used to you being, still getting used to your new schedule.
But, me too.
Still love you for the phone. Can I show some love real quick for the Alex Jones store?
Please.
I have in my possession right now 4 Hold the Line coins. So I'm going to do a little shopping around the neighborhood, and if I bump into certain people who deserve a challenge coin, I'm going to be giving those coins out and talking about what we're doing out here in California to fight the New World Order. So
fantastic.
Those Hold the Line coin books are a great icebreaker. And
absolutely.
With your friends, it's even more acceptable, you know, especially if they owe you a beer, you know, about the challenge coin tradition.
Yeah, so, of course.
Not that I'd imbibe, but let me get to my point, Harrison. I know your time is precious. You've been doing a good job with the narrative breaking, and I'm going to segue from that. You broke a little bit of the narrative with these fentanyl boats. If this fentanyl is supposed to be so deadly, why are we blowing them up when they're in the ocean and that stuff would just go into local water supplies? See, there's
you raised
a good point about how wonky that is.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, if one little, you know, dollop of fentanyl is enough to kill 100 people, you have to think blowing up tons of it in the ocean can't exactly be good for everybody.
Where are the dead fish? So
yeah.
Here's a thought. Remember Rob Dew covered the Mitch McConnell who put the poison pill into that continuing resolution to go after the cannabis industry?
Yep.
Could we see this behavior eventually turned on our cannabis people that don't comply? I could foresee that. You know, the war on drugs is still a, you know, thing that libertarians don't talk about as much as they used to. The InfoWars crowd, you guys have been somewhat on top of it, but it's kind of like one of those things in the back now that's like excusable because fentanyl's so bad. Oh, well, gee, we'll outlaw the cannabis for that people use to treat their cancer or to make gummies like Alex, you know, the Alex Jones store has, the CBD gummies. So I kind of see it like they may be trying to create a narrative and then they're going to turn the guns back on us once they achieve their goal.
Well, that in general is what I don't like about the government just sort of declaring people terrorists. Therefore, they are now, you know, ununiformed combatants in a war. It's like, well, what says who? I mean, you know, okay, I don't like drug smugglers either, but just because they're smuggling drugs doesn't mean they deserve to be blown out of the water with a Hellfire missile. It just doesn't make any sense. It's not good. And I do worry that whether it's turned on, you know, drug rings here or whatever. And it's like the fentanyl deaths are bad, but it's almost entirely because of the opioid crisis. I mean, the opioid crisis killed hundreds of thousands of people, and that was through doctors and pharmaceutical companies. So, like, drone strike them if you're going to drone strike anybody.
Agree. Now, let me posit this again, narratives, right, Harrison? You said earlier, you know, we got to have knowledge. Well, first, you give people a narrative change, you give them a red pill that, you know, gives their cognitive dissonance a little shake, and then you drop your knowledge bomb. The trick, you know, I talk a little fast, sometimes you do too, is that we can't give people the whole fire hose of the knowledge. You got to give them little droplets. So for today's little droplet, when these people are acting out of line with their oath to the Constitution, remember, their oath to the Constitution is a contract, which means they can be nailed by anyone who wants to pursue it for a breach of contract. But you got to fall on that grenade to do that process. So that's just one option. And if you have an assembly lawfully assembled, the anonymity of the assembly allows everyone to go after that bad actor versus just having yourself as a lone person in front of the courthouse getting in trouble. Your assembly provides you that anonymity because you actually can redact the names that are signed off on such documents. Just a little bit of knowledge. You know, the people have got to self-govern. If the military is governing us, the American experiment has failed. We're just a military state. We have to become self-governing. We have to spread knowledge. Harrison, do you want the sites for the knowledge, or should I let you go to the next caller?
Give me the sites, and then we'll move on.
National-assembly.net, and if you want to get people in your state, restore-america.org. We'll funnel you into whoever we can find in your state, or you might be the first one. You never know.
Well, I love seeing people utilizing those methods that we have, you know, dictated to us in the Constitution. We have the ability to push back on a lot of this stuff, and we have to be taking advantage of that. Thank you so much for the call. I do appreciate it, Sean. Great call. Let's go to Omar in California. Finish out with our California calls here. Omar, thank you for calling in. Once again, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, just real quick, I want to mention something about the iodine. It was the X2, actually, but I believe the Nascent Iodine from the Dr. Jones Natural website works just as good. But I had a I used to have skin tags on my lower body. As soon as I started taking the iodine, they just all went away.
Yeah. I'm not a doctor, so I can't make medical claims, but I had kind of the same thing with a bump on the back of my neck, although I did it just topical. I just put the iodine on my finger and put it on there, and it went away. And it had been there for like a month and then just went away in like 3 days. Yeah, iodine's like can be like a miracle cure for certain things. And not a medical doctor. I'm not saying it'll happen for you, but try it out for yourself. You'll be surprised at what iodine can do. Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff, Omar.
She's not a fan of supplements, so, but she started getting these skin tags on her, like, upper eyelid.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't tell her that I was slipping her some X2 every day in her coffee. And within, like, 10 days, they all went away. And she didn't know how. And and I swear to God, like, her eyelid is completely clear of them now, man. It's crazy.
That's
but anyway,
hilarious.
I want to talk about the COVID thing. 5 years ago, when I'm in California, and I drive up and down Central Valley to L.A., and then I go back up to the Bay Area a lot. And, man, I got kicked out of so many restaurants in California during those 2 years. It's not even funny. I mean, I got to the point where I didn't even want to try anymore. And it's crazy because even when you would tell them, hey, look, I just want to eat. Not just eat. I'm hungry. I'm driving 300 miles. And these people literally take orders like they don't think, you know.
Yeah.
They just do things without even thinking. It's like it doesn't even make sense.
It is so weird. Yeah. And
it's crazy, man. And these are the same people they're giving jobs to now in the medical industry. I know a lot of young women that I deal with in my line of business that got into the medical, like, you know, working in hospitals, and they just barely got on. They only did like 10 months of training, and they're the ones that were enforcing the whole mask thing. And I think what they're doing, they're pushing out the older ones that don't take orders.
Yep.
Or don't follow, you know, the orders, and they're bringing in all these new idiots that don't know nothing.
Yep. Yeah. And they did the same thing in the military. We talked about that endlessly when it was happening. They purged the military of free thinkers or people who would refuse orders like that through the COVID vaccine. And it was a very convenient sort of weeding out operation for anybody that could think for themselves. You got replaced by somebody that would follow orders. It was absolutely brutal, and we're still sort of suffering the hangover from that. Yeah, deception intoxication that we're all subjected to. Thank you so much for the call, Omar. I'm going to move on to some other people here, but I always appreciate when you call in. Let's go to Meg in Florida now. Talk about Trump's approval rating. It's in the toilet. Meg, well, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I would have to agree, Harrison. And first and foremost, it's a real honor to talk to you. You're always a delight on the War Room.
Oh, thank you.
So I would have to give... The economy, gas prices, it's now $3.15 in South Florida where I am. Mm-hmm. And I think this second administration, I don't really recognize it. He was on fire on his first administration. With this administration, I'm not sure. But then again, it is early. I would love to see more indictments, especially that that lady that's at the CDC,
Walensky,
I think she and Fauci need to be in jail, like indicted for what they did to the Beagle.
Amongst other things, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and especially what they did with lying about the numbers, and you can be. It's fine to wear a mask or no, don't wear a mask. It's like, okay, well, which one is it? But, and also, I would like for President Trump, I mean, stop with renaming, what was wrong with Gulf of America? I'm as much of a patriot as anybody else, but what was wrong with Gulf of Mexico? I mean, I understand. I mean, and also Department of Defense. What was wrong with Department of Defense was booting your keister two on the nose. I don't really understand that one.
Well, you know what's funny? So the Department of Defense label was actually Edward Bernays, like, you know, the guy who created sort of modern marketing and designed sort of the systems that they run to create manufactured consent. Edward Bernays, he was the nephew of Sigmund Freud and is responsible for all this stuff. That was one of the things that he did. It was called the Department of War, and then he came along and said, you know, it'd be a lot more, you know, digestible if it was called the Department of Defense. But you're right. I mean, those are the types of things that it's like, okay, if we were dominating and winning and getting everything we voted for, and we were renaming it the Gulf of America, and we were renaming it the Gulf of War, it'd be like the cherry on the sundae. It'd just be like excellent. But it's like, instead, it's like insulting. It's like, okay, you're doing all this stuff that doesn't really mean anything, and you expect to celebrate it when we're still getting raked over the coals and fired from our jobs for speaking out. It's like, yeah, it'd be great if it was in addition to everything else, but it's not sufficient to satisfy his voters. I completely agree. I like it. You know, why not? Call it the Gulf of America. Call it the Department of War. Great. Why not? They're more accurate anyway. But that's not what we voted for. We voted for, you know, actual substantial change.
And the biggest thing that I've been fighting for is House Bill 1495. It's Violet's Law. I've been trying to get the word out. Vern Buchanan has been a champion for this bill, and I've been trying to get President Trump to have this as one of his executive orders, but I mean, he's got other things he wants to sign in. That's
well,
fine,
how can people find out about it? Is there a page that you can point people to?
You can go to White Coat Waste.
White Coat Waste?
I think it's whitecoatwaste.org or com or one of those.
Okay, well, give us, what is the House resolution again?
House Bill 1495. It's known as Violet's Law. It's where people can adopt animals when they've been tested. And I don't think that they should be testing on animals, and that's probably the only good thing that AI is actually good for. And I'm not sure if you or Alex or anybody has caught this, but in one of the many bilateral meetings, RFK Jr. brought up using AI to do testing instead of animals.
That's pretty cool. I like that. Well, okay, HB 1494, Violet's Law. Thank you for calling in about that. Yeah. So, you know, let me ask you this, Meg, what could Trump do to raise his approval rating other than Violet's Law? What do you think, you know, would bring people back to the plantation?
He's seriously got to make some arrests. I'm so sick of George Soros and Hillary Clinton still walking around with their cloven hooves, just breathing our air free with the amount of crimes that they've done to this country. He needs to make arrests. That's my biggest thing.
Yep. I completely agree. And again, just arrest him, deal with the fallout. Like, you know, nobody's going to be happy if you arrest Obama. Like, they're going to be very mad, but like, you arrest him, you present the evidence, you do it by the book and by the numbers, and you get the conviction, or you just put him through the process and maybe he gets out of it at the end. Well, at least you put him through at least you got the mugshot or whatever. Because these people aren't Trump, right? Trump gets stronger when they arrest him. Trump gets stronger when they try to, you know, foist these illegitimate claims on him. Our claims are not illegitimate. The laws that they broke are not something that you have to, you know, stretch the law to make it seem like they broke something. No, they actually just genuinely, severely broke the law over and over again. They need to be punished for it. I completely agree. I think that would skyrocket his approval back to probably where it was when he first got in, when we all thought that's what he was going to do. So yeah, I think arrests have to be at the very, very top of the list. Not just indictments, not just, you know, for lying to Congress, but like treason trials. We need them. They are a necessity. And if we don't get them, it's over for Trump, but really it's over for the country. Thank you so much for the call, Meg. Let's go to Bart in Georgia now. Bart in Georgia on Mark Kelly, the treasonist. Go ahead, Bart, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to remind these dumbasses like this guy and those other people, there's this thing called the U.S. Constitution, 18 U.S.C. 23. It's high treason. It's not sedition. And it carries up to death, which I don't think he's going to get. But listen, all orders from the president, in this case it's Trump, are presumed legal. So them even insinuating that he's going to make an illegal order is enough for I want to know the arrest too, and I want to blame Trump right away. But then I got to thinking, you know, he's got so many moles in there from George Soros, all these lunatics that are doing God knows what. But we need to get Alex Jones in there at Mar-a-Lago for 1 week, and they need to meet for hours a day. And when Alex gets there, he needs to present it to Trump on paper, everything he wants to tell him, and then meet with him. Trump is the kind of person, you do business with him in person. You don't talk to him on the phone. You don't talk on X. You go and meet with him. Anyway, thank you for taking my call.
Bart, you're exactly right, and you mentioned the exact clause that I read out, you know, 2 weeks ago when this story first broke, again and again, 18 USC, what was it, 23, right? Where, I mean, it is so obvious that they broke the law. I mean, it literally is like they wrote the law for them. It's like anyone who even attempts to sow discord, to sow dissension, to disrupt the behavior of the army by encouraging people to disobey orders, that is a crime. Like, it doesn't have to work. It doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to prove that, oh, they said that and then people broke the law. Like, no, just saying it, you're breaking the law. And the thing I really don't understand about this is that this is the way the law works. The law cannot, by virtue of just the lack of, you know, the limitations of language, you can't have a law that specifically applies to every single, you know, way that you could imagine that type of crime happening. Like, there's a crime of kidnapping. Now, when I say kidnapping, an image probably appears in your mind of, like, you know, a man in a white van grabbing a kid off the street. Yeah, that's kidnapping, and that's illegal. But, like, if there's somebody in your house and you lock the door and just, you know, keep them in there while you berate them about something, like, that's – you'll be charged with kidnapping. If you, you know, are driving an Uber and you refuse to stop at the person's house and keep driving with them, you have kidnapped that person. Now – does it say no one shall keep somebody in their Uber longer than – no, the law doesn't say exactly that. You take the general idea of the law, holding somebody against their will, and you apply it to any sort of manifestation of that crime. So exactly the same thing needs to happen here. It's laid out in perfectly clear English in the U.S. code and in the military code that you cannot encourage the troops to disobey orders. You just can't, and they did. That's against the law. They broke the law. It's not even up for debate. Why are we even debating this? Why are they out there still doing it? It's ridiculous. You take the law that they broke and you apply it and you arrest them and you charge them with it and you explain to the judge and jury why what they did rises to the level of a crime under the U.S. code. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It doesn't have to, you know, they don't have to, you know, exactly say an illegal phrase. It's like what they did is illegal. Flat out, no debate, but we're still talking about it. So yeah, it's incredibly infuriating. The law is supposed to work to where you take the spirit of the law and you apply it to the reality of the situation. I don't know why we can't just punish these people. Thank you so much for the call, Bart. You're exactly right. It's high treason. Every single one of these people should have been arrested 3 weeks ago. The fact that they haven't been makes me think they're never going to be. And there's probably nothing they can do to be arrested. I mean, what more could they do? How much more blatantly could they break a law than what they've already done? And they're not being arrested. They're not being punished. They're actually being celebrated by the left for what they've done. So yeah, Trump knows it. There it is. 2387. Whoever with the intent to interfere, impair, influence the loyalty, morale, or discipline of the military and naval forces to be fined and imprisoned up to 10 years. Okay. Thanks, Trump. Thanks for letting us know. You are the president. Do you know that? You are the chief executive. Why are you telling us? What are we supposed to do about it? Ridiculous. James in New Hampshire is our next caller. Let's go to James in New Hampshire. Thanks so much for calling in, James.
Hey, Harrison.
Howdy.
So I just wanted to give you like a list of things that we could talk about because I've been waiting, and so I wanted to talk about Owen, but I was also like thinking like the revolts in Mexico. And then I was also thinking about Jeff Rentz, who gave Alex the start, and also the Simpsons clip from the 2000s when they predicted that like Trump was going to like collapse the economy. So which one do you want to talk about?
I don't care. Let's start at the top. We only have 3 minutes left, whatever you think is most important.
Owen's really going hard against Israel. So it's like people think that, like, it's like, gee, wonder why he left InfoWars, like, because Alex is always constantly defending Israel, so.
Okay. This actually frustrates me. I have been more against Israel for longer than Owen ever was. Okay. Like this is, cause I get comments like that all the time. Cause I'll go against Israel on X. People will be like, careful, Harrison, you know, you'll get the Owen treatment. And it's like, I have been anti-Israel for the entire time I've been on air. I've been outspoken about it. I've posted clips from like 2023 and 2022 where I'm covering Israel in exactly the same way I do now. And people think that Owen is the anti-Israel guy. Okay. Great. It just that doesn't make any sense. I've been more anti-Israel for longer than Owen ever has. So it doesn't make any sense him leaving InfoWars because of that. What's your take on that, James?
I also wanted to apologize to you because I was talking mad crap about you on Rob Dew's when Rob Dew took over. And I was like, I don't know, because you called me a retard, but... Anyway, the next thing I want to talk about...
Hold on. We're not breezing over that. What did you do that was retarded, James?
I was talking about how Hitler's good.
Got it.
Can we move on? Okay, so have you ever seen the clip from The Simpsons?
Oh, you were the guy that called in about Trump Patton, clip. And I was telling you things about Patton that you didn't even know.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember now. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to go on to another caller. Last point.
Okay, Simpsons from 2000, there's a clip that where Lisa Simpson's the president, and she's like, and we're broke because of Trump. And that's from 2000. Don't you think that's weird?
Yeah, that is very weird. Although in 2000, Donald Trump did run for office under the Reform Party. So maybe that was a sort of topical joke since he was running for president in this third party. Maybe they included that, and then it looks, you know, prophetic because of how it worked out. But, you know, The Simpsons, when you're talking about, when you're satirizing the modern world and you're on for a million seasons, you're going to be right pretty often. So it could be a coincidence, but, you know, Trump's political ambitions didn't come out of nowhere. He was running, I believe, with the Reform Party in the 2000 contest. So that's probably where that joke came from. Thank you so much for the call, James. I appreciate it. I'm sorry I called you retarded. Let's go quickly to Karen in California. We only have a few seconds left here, Karen. What's your take on the Venezuelan refugees?
They have like 30 million people in Venezuela. Do you think if we go to war, we might get 10 million more people to come into America as refugees and we'll have to pay for them and take care of them?
Yeah, I think you might be onto something there. I think you might be onto something. Look, I think that Trump is doing everything. To be honest, I think Trump's doing everything he can to not go to war with Venezuela. I think that would ruin his talking point of being able to say he's the only, you know, president to never start a war. I don't think he wants to start a war. I think he's desperate to, like, intimidate Maduro out of the resistance. Because, yeah, obviously we would be flooded with refugees and Americans would die. Why would anybody want this? What is it worth? Crazy.
Quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. Yeah, but I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home day in and day out 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time, and there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have, but now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now, and I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now, like, my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But, yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.